welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM. I'll say this to you folks that are listening. We have a loaded show today.
Yep.
And I don't necessarily mean we have a good show. We're just crowded. And if you want to call in and you want to talk to us, now's the time. Because at a certain point, we're going to get this party train rolling, and we're not going to slow down for you.
Actually, I don't even see. I mean, I agree that if they want to talk to us really anytime, they should give it a shot if they feel like it. But I don't see exactly on this piece of paper where. Why now is the time?
Adam's on the phone.
Where, why now is the time?
Look at that piece of paper. You said we had a joke. Look at that.
Yeah.
At this time, it says we've got something we're supposed to do.
No, I think we got. I think that's the next one. Or is it? Are we doing this now?
No. It doesn't say exactly. It's just the 6 o'clock hour. There's two things already.
Yeah.
This is a booked show.
This is why.
So that was that.
This is why now is the only time you're going to get through.
Now, will you talk to people about anything?
Yes, I will. Teresa Strasser.
Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny. Good morning.
Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
I don't like change. That's not usually how we start the show, Adam.
Well, do I say Danny Bonaducci?
Usually you say hello to me first, and it changes, rattles
me. Screwed things up. Yeah. Sorry, baby girl. Get over it. I went over to Jimmy Kimmel's son's freshman football game yesterday. Wow. And you know how everything makes me angry.
Oh.
I was...
I thought it was going to be a fun story.
Oh, please. I was watching Jimmy's son. Well, he doesn't start, but he gets in there on the extra points and things like that. Big kid. Weird. Remember when he was in diapers, although he was 13 and still in diapers. So it wasn't that letting he had a bowel problem.
So he's a big, what, like a six-footer?
It's really weird with kids. Or I say kids, he's, I think, 14. It's weird with young boys and with women. Because
when I say the same thing.
When a woman is 6 foot one and she's 180 pounds, you go, this chick was like 6'4", like 250. Because you can't. It's like looking at a huge dog where you go, that dog was 200 pounds, but the dog was 120 pounds, but that's still huge.
Right.
When a 14-year-old boy is 6'2 and 210 pounds, it's like he's like 6'9 and 500 pounds. Like it's weird to see the baby face. They sort of get that cankly look and that baby face look. They haven't, they're not grown into their body, although their body's outgrown them at the same time. His boy is huge. The thing that's weird is if I meet a guy who's a 40-year-old guy and the guy's 6'1", right, and somebody says, oh, that guy's 6'3", I'll go, no, he's not, because I'm 6'2", and he wasn't taller than me. If I meet a woman or a 13-year-old boy who's 6 foot, or 6'1", and someone goes, that dude was taller than Adam, I'll go, yeah, the guy towered over me. Right. It's just weird because they're so young or because they're a woman. It's like you're not expecting that to be that. So I can't quite tell, but I would guess Jimmy's son is 6'2", and I would say he's 210 pounds if he's an ounce, and he is in the ninth grade.
He's a freshman?
He's a freshman.
He doesn't start.
One is, I agree with you. You always, I think, when something is so big and only you see it, mm-hmm, and you have to describe it to somebody, I always assume their imagination won't be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to make it bigger. Mm-hmm. An easy example would be, I have a pimple the size of a Buick.
Right.
That's an obviously over-the-top one.
Right.
But say, back in the old days, if I got, in a fight, and the guy was 6'2", that's gigantic to me. I'll make him 6'5", so mm-hmm, people will look in their imagination and see a guy who just towers over me, which a guy 6'2" does, because mm-hmm, I'm 5'6". So it's normal, I think, to describe things you want people to understand as huge, as just a shade huge, because you don't give them credit.
Yeah,
to understand.
It's a natural, storytelling. That's why things get a little screwed up over the generations and over the years. But let's just say the man is a load. in the ninth grade, right. And I don't mean fat, I just mean big. Yeah, Brian wants to know why he's not starting so big, and I'll tell you why he's not starting and he's so big. When you're, people think football and big are the same thing. You got to be big to play football, yeah. And that's true once you get to a certain level. But in the earlier stages, quick and being able to fire out of your stance will trump size.
Right.
And I played football in high school. Give me 165, 170 pound guy who fires out of a stance rather than a 210 pound guy who can't get out of a stance. The 165 pound guy will kill the 210 pound guy because he fires out of a stance. Probably because he played 5 or 6 years of Pop Warner football before he got to the ninth grade.
That's going to be an advantage early.
Whereas Kevin Kimmel didn't play before this. Mm. Now, as the years wear on and you get to the stage where everyone fires out of their stance at a certain point, then you want the 300-pounder. But as it is now, they'll take the 165-pound bulldog who's played for 4 years over the 210-pound baby Huey. All right, let's see. Someone's happy to see Teresa back.
Everybody's. My space was insane with my motorcycle wreck and the return of Teresa. And you outdid me.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm bleeding like a stuck pig. And they want to talk about how happy they are.
Well,
you're back.
That's
Kevin happy to see Teresa back. He's on line 7, so we'll talk to Dave on line 2.
Thanks for having sense to me, man.
Dave?
Yeah, this is Dave.
How say you, my brother?
I just want to say you guys definitely have the best show on radio, and congratulations to Adam, Teresa, and Danny on having the best show on radio.
Wow. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
But I love you guys.
As my mom would say, that's just your opinion.
How would I know that?
That's right. What's that?
I think that's a lot of people's opinion. I've never listened to a radio show like I listen to you guys' radio show. I get up every morning just to hear the beginning of your show, and I don't have to be up at that time.
Wow. No, I love this guy.
I'll tell you something. I had a conversation with Adam yesterday. I'm one of the very few people I know who apologize to people that don't know I owe them an apology.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was having a problem, and I said to somebody, and I don't even have a friend I can talk to. And I remembered I did. So I called him up, and I said, I owe you an apology. I just told somebody I don't have any friends, and I do have you. So sorry. Mm-hmm. He goes to Florida. He doesn't know I said that.
Mm-hmm.
But so I felt bad that I had said it.
Right.
Carolla was walking by yesterday in the parking lot, and I said, I owe you an apology. So before I said, because I think you're right. I think the smartest, cleverest show on the radio will eventually win out. But I didn't think we'd start doing this well this quickly, being this different. You know, semi-reinventing the wheel, and we're way ahead of the schedule I had. So I think I owe you an apology.
Well, I'll tell you this. When I called in from TMZ and I was on hold, it was the first time I actually listened to the show because, you know, usually I'm on
here.
It. Yeah. And it was weird. And I thought, this is, of course, without me, this is a good show listening to you guys.
Thanks.
I enjoyed it while I was on hold.
We have, let's see, Leticia, who's inspired by producer Angie.
I agree wholeheartedly. Tracy was so good. I agree wholeheartedly.
Someone disagrees with my position on immigration. Yeah. Martin?
Hello, Adam.
What's up, Martin?
Hi, Mr. Kroll. I just want to say that I've been a big fan of you for a long time, maybe since 11 years old. I used to listen to Loveline under the covers so my mom wouldn't catch me.
Yes, wow. Hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Thank you.
This guy yanked to your voice.
Awesome. I wanted to say that I strongly disagree with your position on illegal immigration, that you sort of characterized it in a sense by saying that the problem with illegal immigration here is that the Mexicans sort of, as you said, screwed up their country. You don't want them to screw up this country.
Mm-hmm.
But as you phrased it, you said you're in favor of the border wall, as it were. And I would say your position is, with the border wall is in stark contrast to most of your other, perhaps more libertarian views regarding the nature of things like the drug war and what have you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can I just take a moment to take my apology back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go
ahead, Martin. Yes, libertarian views.
Right. This is very interesting.
Get ready with those fuel housing drops, Paul Bryan.
Go right ahead, Martin.
Okay. In essence, you know, you're well aware of the fact of what motivates people is primarily the incentives of, you know, whatever they may desire, whether it be a product or an idea and what have you. And
sure.
I would argue the idea of American citizenship or the prospects of new jobs is a very powerful incentive. And to put something like a wall or, you know, some other heavy restrictions is going to only motivate people to, you know, take increasing risks, indeed willing to risk their lives in many instances in order to immigrate into the
country. Kielhauser?
Well, okay, let me say this, Martin.
Well spoken, that young man.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, a couple things.
Picked his words a little too carefully for me.
People want to know about my politics. I don't know about my politics. I don't know enough about politics to know if I'm a libertarian, a Republican, a Democrat. I'm a bit of all of them. Mm-hmm. I have ideas that are libertarian. I have very Democratic ideas, and I have very Republican ideas, and I have some that swing wildly to the left and wildly to the right. Now, when the folks from the left hear the ones that swing wild to the wild to the right, they just call me a Republican. And when the folks, when the Republicans hear the ones that go wildly to the left, they say I'm liberal.
Right.
But I'm really an amalgamation. I'm a calico.
Right.
I have a little bit of everything.
Right.
I'm fine with that. There's no way I'm going to sign off just like I don't eat at the same restaurant every night. I'm not going to sign off on one of these. It's not a religion to me. You know, the Democrats have good ideas. Republicans have some good ideas. Libertarians and the Green Party and whoever else I'm forgetting has some good ideas. I'm sure there were a couple of decent ones communism had and other things I completely disagree with. When it comes to immigration, I will say this. I just saw a study last night on the news that more than 50% of Los Angelinos speak a language other than English in their homes. It's now more than 50%. People are worried about coming over here and losing their culture. What about our culture? We don't have a culture anymore. We have a whole bunch of little cultures. I don't think that makes for a great society. And as far as a wall never kept anyone out, well, what do you think a prison is? It's a wall around a place that has a bunch of guys that we don't want to get out. And yes, it does keep them from getting out. Of course, walls keep, you know, people make these sort of blanket statements. Walls never stopped anyone. Yes, they do. That's why they've caught on over the years. I don't know if you've noticed.
That whole Great Wall of China thing.
Yeah.
You know, that one man-made object you can see from space.
It had a good run.
Yeah. That one in Germany.
Go drive through a really nice, expensive neighborhood. Go see how the celebrities are living. Go check out their mansions. They have walls around them and they're fairly effective at keeping people out. Does that mean that somebody couldn't commandeer a helicopter and get into Brad and Angelina's compound? No, of course they're breached on occasions.
Sure.
Prisons are broken out of walls, but that statement, a wall never kept anyone from getting into or out of anything, and everyone just nods their heads. Oh yeah, no, wall never. Of course, I'll tell you why. A wall was probably invented 2 billion years ago by some caveman who didn't want his other caveman neighbor or a dinosaur or whatever the hell to get in to his cave. And they put it up, and guess what? That guy didn't get eaten by a bear that night. It was fairly effective. And thus, the concept of the wall caught on. Because let me explain something about societal concepts. They don't go on for a couple of billion years if they're not effective. Beta tapes didn't make it out of the
80s. Right.
Things that don't catch on, that aren't popular, that have no use, don't get passed on from generation to generation. You drive home today and you look at the walls. Look at the walls of the big houses. Look at the walls around the government institutes. Look at the Fort Knox. Look at all the walls you see. Go to a school. See the high fence around the school. You want your kids protected? Why don't we do that? I got an idea. All you a-holes out there that do that, a wall never kept anyone out of anything. Well, I'll tell you what. Your kids at their public school or their private school, you know that 8-foot fence? The one that stops the drifters from drifting in and talking to your kids. The one that stops the guy who's selling drugs or wants to get a little picture with a cell phone of your girl and her panties on the swing. Let's get rid of that wall. Let your kid drift out toward the street. Let the drifter drift in toward your kid. Wall never stopped anyone.
No.
Never?
You can
really
still get the
never?
Panty shot through a fence.
Yeah.
Kyle, where do you stand on fences and gates?
They're there because they work, obviously.
You know,
so
funny.
I'm fine with the concept. And by the way, if we had the effing wall up 30 years ago, do you think Los Angeles would be over 50% Latino? I think it would have slowed things down a little bit.
A tad.
Call me crazy. Walls work, of course. Of course they do.
We'll be back.
They work in split shifts, though. If a 2 foot wall, a 2 foot thick wall, only 1 foot of it is bad.
Mm-hmm.
The foot that keeps people in is the bad guy wall.
Mm-hmm.
The foot, the other foot that people trying to get over into freedom is the good side of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That we didn't build. You know, we're not, theoretically, we're not trying to lock you in anywhere. Mm-hmm. We just say you can't come here till you get the papers. It's not like East and Germany.
Look, we have built a society that is envied by most other societies on this planet. We busted our hump to do this. We did. We led a disciplined life here that created a society that is the envy of many other societies. Not all other societies in the world, but many others. Just like you may have built a house on your block that is the best house on the block. It has the best sanitation. It has the best food. It has the best. You have a doctor who lives with you and all that kind of stuff. Now, of course, everyone else on your block looks at your shining example of a house and says, wow, the Bonaducci place over there has got a steaming hot bath. It's got toilets at work. It's got a pantry filled with food. He's got a doctor living in the guest house. I'm going over there. And you go, okay, fine, come on down. And he comes down, and then he goes, you know what? I got a couple buddies, and they're not doing so good either. So you go, yeah, come on down. I think I can keep you guys busy. Go out and mow the lawn. Hang out. You can deal with the doctor. I'll give you some food. But eventually, the house starts getting a little crowded.
It's the bomb
and it gets
shelter.
A little overrun. Yes, and your doctor can't see everyone, and your pantry can't support everyone, and all of a sudden the hot water's not so hot anymore, and the toilet's starting to back up. So what do? You put a wall up, and you say, please, no more.
What if somebody comes up to you, you've got the doctor in there, and they've got their child who's just been hit by a car, and they're banging on the door, this child dying.
Rules are rules, okay. Baby.
In all sincerity, because when I hear Carolla's version of that story, it's road rules to me. It's the road warrior. That's where I think the next, you know, that's my leap mentally, and I think I'll fare very well in that scenario. I think I'll do just fine. If it's, you've got stuff I need, I can just take it by killing you, I think I'll be fine.
All right.
But you build a wall to keep them out so you don't have to.
Now we got a ton of calls. Tommy?
Yes?
I know we're running late. You enjoy the show?
Yeah, I do. I work from 2 in the morning to 10, driving the whole time.
Wow.
I work for a construction company, Loss Prevention Specialist is the little title they gave me.
You're driving around making sure people don't go for the lumber lift at 4 in the morning on the construction site.
When they do, we, you know, I work directly under the top guy for it, and when they do, we go find them and then arrest them.
Hey, Tommy.
Yes.
Do the construction sites have a fence around them?
No, they don't. But they
should.
Well, they have Tommy.
Yeah, but fence would never slow anybody down.
He's a loss prevention specialist.
No, lumber could be stolen just as easy whether there's a fence, a high fence around it with barbed wire on top, or it's wide open to the public.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's like the border
never
guard.
Kept anyone out.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
Also? I'm really happy to hear that Teresa finally has a man that seems to be treating her well. Because if I wasn't 21 years old, I would go out there and court you like a gentleman, me lady.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to find him.
Honestly, you were smacking one out of the park up until then.
He's a loss prevention specialist.
And she lost her heart.
Accent to try and ask you out.
Let's see. Tracy Metro made me a Teresa fan.
You know what I heard? He didn't like me before. That's all I heard.
Somebody called. Somebody's calling BS on Will Angie Eat It. Casey?
I agree wholeheartedly. Please don't.
Casey?
Yes.
You call BS on Will Angie Eat It?
Yeah, Adam, I'm usually on your side, but this time I got to take Danny's. I counted them all out. Have Brian pull up his email. You guys were tied when you did. On the fourth question, I think you were tied, and then he got it right. You got it wrong. He was up by one, and you guys did the tiebreaker, but it really didn't matter.
You say Danny up.
No, yep, I think you said we had
Danny up.
Win or tie?
No. Says one. We shouldn't have had the tiebreaker. You're up by one. I will review. The problem, to be honest, is there's a lot of waffling, and it's the same thing. here's what happens when you waffle, everybody. This is what my mom does. My mom will leave a message saying, why don't you come over for dinner at 6 or 6:30? Six is good. John comes home from work at 5:30. Come at 6:30.
How should I know?
Or 6. 6 or 6:30. Okay, you know what? Let's call it 6. And
we
then she hangs up.
Around her.
Hold on, but will and Andy eat waffles?
Then 4 days, what happens is 4 days later, I'm going to my mom's that, you know, it's 5 in the afternoon. I'm going to my mom's for dinner and I think, is it 6 or 6:30? Because once you go back and forth 4 times.
Confusing.
You're confused. So let's review that tape.
Really? Do you want to bother?
I do.
In a game of cards. Can I just say this before we do it? Because I'd have to give you money or get money back. So I'm going to have a vote here. In a game of cards, if you throw down 2 pair and you lose, and then I'm noticed, wow, you actually had a full house, dude. You had 3 of a kind and a pair. That guy still loses because you have to know what you had.
That's true.
If I didn't know I won, if I didn't know I had what I had, I lost.
You know, I appreciate.
I don't care about your $20, dude. You're rich as a. I just think it's a lot of work.
I appreciate the effort, but I would like to try to review it. I'll put somebody on it. I just want clarity, and I'll happily give the money back if, in fact, I'm wrong. I don't think I am, but on the other hand, he reviewed the tape.
Yeah, I trust him.
So he may know.
I didn't pay you.
We'll take a quick break. Well, that's true. I'll symbolically give you the money back you never gave to me. We'll take a quick break. I got my dog Molly here.
Yeah.
Oh, look at Molly. We're going to make our football picks next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Feeling all right.
More with Adam Carolla coming up, but first, a crank call from the Crank Anchor's Vault with Jimmy's son, Kevin Kimmel.
Library.
Hi, is this the library?
Yes, it is.
I need help with my homework.
What do you need?
I just need to look up 2 words in the dictionary.
Okay, what do you need to look up?
Hospitable.
Okay. I've got a dictionary right in front of me here, so I'm looking.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. Hospitable means receiving and entertaining guests in a friendly fashion.
Okay, say that again, please.
Receiving and entertaining guests.
Okay.
In a friendly fashion.
Okay, next word.
Okay. What is it?
Bitch.
And why do you want to know that one?
It's for my homework.
And how do you spell it?
B-I-T-C-H.
Okay, that's a female dog.
Oh, that's weird. Doesn't sound like that.
That's what it is, though.
Because my dad said if my mom yelled at him one more time,
yes,
he's going to put that bitch in the hospitable.
Oh, in the hospital?
In the hospitable.
Well, that wasn't very nice, was it? That doesn't sound like
not.
It's for your homework, does it?
No.
No, I don't think so.
I was just yanking your crank.
I can tell.
You've been very nice, though. Maybe when I get older, I will hire you to work for me.
I don't think so.
You're very hospitable.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That was a 9-year-old Kevin Kimmel. He only weighed 185 pounds then.
By the way, I meant to ask you when you were talking about going to his game last night, did he see any playing time in the game?
I just watched the first half, and he's not starting. He's a freshman. It's his first time putting pads on, and the thing about putting pads on is it takes a little while. You have to get used to hitting people.
Yeah.
You want to turn when you come at people. You just, whatever you do, like all sports, your natural instincts are all wrong, whether it's a golf swing or it's crashing into people. So it takes a couple years of crashing into people before you get used to it, but I assume he'll do all right. I was angry that we were all there.
Why is that?
Because my lazy sack of a dad wouldn't go to my football games, and I lived across the street from the high school. Jimmy is there with 10 people he works with, 5 other friends, and 5 other family members. There's 20 people sitting on the sideline, or I should say up in the stands, watching his son stand on the sideline for 2 hours.
All right, if I looked at you and told you an honest-to-God story about getting a closed-fisted beating from my dad at 9... till I was all cut up, would you look at me and say, At least he paid attention to you.
Yes.
Are you that guy?
Yes. He acknowledged he was punching something.
Did you just snort?
Shut up, bitch.
Wayne Root is on the phone. Wayne Allen Root to you. Wayne, good to speak to you.
I'm here, alive and well.
He's the king of Vegas. I believe your lock pick, or as I call it, your lock pick, came to fruition last week.
It did, although I must give you that lesson again. Don't use the word lock. No such thing. You know what? It's funny. I win a large percentage of my big plays, but if you watch that game, instead of taking credit, bragging about it, I'll put it down a little bit. That game was tied until there was a minute to go, and then the other team's punt returner dropped the punt. My team recovered, kicked the field goal. I won. My underdog covered. I look like a genius.
Right.
But I call that luck.
That was Green Bay. That was the game I lost last week when the guy dropped. By the way, not his first punt. He muffed his second punt on Philly, and that was definitely the difference in the game.
But it was special my teams. Brilliance that foresaw that special
right?
team.
And it was my retardation that did it. So, Wayne Allen Root, and by the way, where do you go if you want to find your picks, Wayne?
Well, you can get a free pick every single day of the week at 800-946-ROOT, 800 toll-free, so it's free call and a free pick, 800-946-ROOT, R-O-O-T, just like the last name, or go to the website, winningedge.com.
All right.
Now, is there any chance you could just go to that star you have on the Vegas Walk of Fame and hold out your money, and you'll know they're talking
to
you?
I know, Wayne, it's been 31 seconds, and you didn't bring up the star you bought in front of Caesars.
Now, why do you say I bought it? That's a funny way to put it.
How much did it cost?
A committee of 30
How
people
much?
Voted me in, and then I bought it.
All right. Well, there you go. Now, Wayne, let's get to this week's picks. And by the way, Teresa Strasser went 3-1 and won last week. Danny and I both went 500, and my dog Molly went 1-3, so she's chomping at the bit, or to be more exact, the bone, to get back into the fray.
Real quickly, then, can I just say this?
Yes.
Since I know nothing about what I'm doing and Adam knows everything, I just want to see if this is voodoo or not. I'm picking all of my teams right now. Whatever Adam wants, I'm taking the other team.
Well, you would have been over 500 if you employed that last season. So
I'm seeing this
it
movie.
May work quite nicely for you. Indy versus Tennessee. How do you see this one going down, Wayne?
You know, it's funny because first you can't figure, you know, what does Jeff Fisher say in the pregame pep talk to his guys to psych them up? Does he say, these guys can't play? You know, these guys can't score? What do you say when you're facing the Super Bowl champion who opened the season winning 41-10 against a very good New Orleans team? There's not much you could say bad about Indy. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to say something good about Jeff Fisher. You know, Tennessee may be a 500 or below club the last couple of years, but he hasn't had much talent to work with.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't spend a lot of money. He's the best coach at getting the most out of his players.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, they played Indianapolis twice. And guess what? Both times, Tennessee was right in the game. They won one of the games. They upset Indy 20-17. They lost the other game 14-13. So Tennessee has a thing. They always stay close for Indy. Jeff Fisher, great defensive coach.
Mm.
I'm going to take Tennessee in the game.
Mm, but to it's cover not. 7 points.
But
yeah.
It's not my only official pick. I originally told you it was going to be. I'll give you another one out of the four you
All
got
right. So you got, you're taking Tennessee.
Teresa,
what do you think?
I'll take, I'm going to go against him. I'm going to take Indy, Peyton Manning, on the most television commercials. He must be good.
I know his name. He must be great.
It's one of these things. I'm skipping by Danny because he'll go by proxy here. It's one of these things that's tough because Indy would light it up at home on the carpet against anybody, but against Tennessee, who seems to sort of have their number, keep them in check, and slow down the game on the natural turf, I believe, plus Vince Young coming into his own. It's very tough. On the other hand, Indy's such a scoring machine. I'm going to go Indy on this one, although I have a heavy heart. Let's go to San Diego against New England. Oh, Molly, that's right.
Now, we put two pieces of paper down with the names of each team, and she eats the milk bone.
She took the Colts.
Oh.
I want to go that way next week.
She's going with Daddy.
I'm going just eating food off the floor.
So she went with Daddy.
Let's go to San Diego versus New England. At New England, I should say. New England is a 3.5-point favorite. What do you say, Wayne?
Well, first of all, you know, we get so complicated and technological. You know, you just call Tennessee natural turf. Can we say what it was, by the way?
Grass. Yes.
So technological.
I know,
gosh.
Sad.
Making things complicated. Sad. San Diego and Tennessee. You know, I'm going to take San Diego because New England can't cheat this week.
Mm.
Does everyone know about the big scandal going on in New England?
Oh, sure, cheated? Yeah.
You know, I call that camera the Super Bowl, the three Super Bowl camera. Because maybe that's the reason he won three Super Bowls. He's been stealing the signals all along of all the other players and coaches. You got to think that's the problem.
I'd love to think that was true. T, what do you think?
Yes.
I didn't give you my pick.
Oh, I thought you were going with San Diego.
I'm going with San Diego. I just want to officially say, and I'm going with San Diego, and don't forget the main reason why. Last year in the playoffs, New England beat San Diego at the last second when San Diego intercepted Brady's ball. Game was over, and the dumb player, the dummy, instead of sitting down on the turf, game over, he tried to run the interception back. They tackled him. He fumbled the ball. New England got it back, and Brady threw a touchdown, and that's how San Diego lost.
Let me take this quick moment to correct Wayne. I hate New England possibly more than even Wayne does. I'm tired of seeing that team winning, and I'm tired of hearing all the guys who are not tired of seeing that team winning. But they did what championship teams do, which is the guy intercepted Brady's pass. The game was over. The guy should have laid down on the ground and ended the game. Instead, he tried to advance the ball, but he didn't fumble. He was stripped. And that's what championship teams do. Brown stripped the ball from him, and that's something that non-championship teams don't think to do. They tackle him and hang their head. He didn't fumble. He was stripped, and that's why New England won that game. Okay. T?
You know what?
I didn't understand it, but it was passionate.
What he's saying is that the Pats are winners, and I'm going to agree.
They make their own luck, whether it's with a video camera or stripping the DB.
And the video camera does help, you got to admit.
Yes.
Anytime anybody is stripped, I want a video camera.
Me too.
I think that the Patriots will be galvanized by the cheating scandal. They'll need to prove they can win without cheating, and I'm taking New England.
All right. I'm going to say, as much as I hate New England and as much as I love San Diego and as angry as San Diego is, New England is just too loaded with weapons this year. They're going to be at home. I think they score high. It's a good game till the end of the first half, and then New England starts to get away with it. I'm going New England on this one. Dog Molly, she goes with the Bolts, the San Diego Chargers.
Molly's always on my side. Must do that Michael Vick line from last week. By the way, you said Belichick at home, you're going with him. Just so you know, last year at home, Belichick and the Patriots, 2 wins, 5 losses, and 1 push against the point spread. So they're always overrated against
the
points.
That's against
the
points. They probably won all those games, but yes. Give me Oakland at Denver. Oakland has given away 10 points.
Too close to call. I'm not going to weigh in on this one. I'd go under if I had to bet, but I'll tell you why it's too close. Shanahan hates Al Davis, Shanahan being the coach of the Denver Broncos. He hates him because Davis fired him when he was the coach of the Raiders, and since that day, Shanahan's team 19-5 outright. Now forget the points, he just beat them 19 times versus 5 losses against the Raiders. Shanahan always does well, but 10 is just too many points. Matter of fact, last year Shanahan 1-7 at home against the points.
Well,
too many points. So I'll just stay away from it and give it under.
T, what do you think?
I'm taking Oakland.
Taking Oakland, 10 too much. Oakland had a good defense last year, gave up a ton of points last week. Denver underperformed last week, barely got the win. I feel like they're coming back at home. I think they're going to bounce back. They're going to light it up. This is going to be a 34-24, or I should say a 34-17 type game. I, even though 10 points is a lot, am going with Denver to cover at home. Last game. Oh, wait, Molly. What's Molly have? Always forget about her. She agreed with her papa and went with Denver. Now, last game. Seattle giving away 3 at Arizona.
Well, you know, Arizona is a much maligned team. Everybody's down in Arizona, and last week they lost again. But you know what? Think back to last year on Monday Night Football. Undefeated Chicago came into Arizona, and the Cardinals were ahead the whole game. They lost at the end. Kind of Adam's theory, bad teams find a way to lose. At the very end, they gave up, I think it was a 21-0 lead, and they lost 24-23.
Right.
But they play well at home. They're always in games. Matt Leinart, I think, is a young, talented, maturing quarterback.
Sure, he had almost 65 yards last week.
He's going to be home. That makes all the difference. Arizona sucks on the road.
Maybe this
but
house.
They play well at home. I'll take Arizona.
All right.
A little check. It's not a big play. A little check.
Got Arizona. T, what do you think?
I think Seattle should cover with ease.
It's tough. Arizona is good at home. They've been the team that has been underachieving for like the last 5 years. Everyone says, oh, this is Arizona's year, and then it's not Arizona's year. Leinart did not look good at all against a team that probably wasn't that good in the San Francisco 49ers. I am going to say Seattle. I'm going Seattle as well. Molly, what do you think, my girl? Molly picked the Seattle Seahawks. What a science. Hey, Wayne Root.
Yes, sir.
That brings us to the end of this week's pick, so we'll speak to you next Monday. Throw out your website one more time.
Yeah, it's winningedge.com. The TV show is tomorrow, Wayne Allen Root's Winning Edge on Discovery Channel, 8:30 a.m. West Coast time, 8:30 East and West, as a matter of fact.
Wayne?
And the phone number for free pick, 800-946-ROOT, R-O-O-T, free recorded message, free pick, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Wayne, I know you got to go polish some granite, so I'll let you go hit the sidewalks of Vegas. We'll take a quick break, but before we go, let's get the points. Total points for Seattle, Arizona. T went first last week, so I'm going to go first this week. Oh, who the hell knows with these two? Arizona, Seattle, maybe Arizona scores 14, 17 points. Maybe Seattle scores 21, 24 points. What the hell's, let's say 14 and 24. What is that, 38? All right, I'm going to say 38.
I'll say 48.
Wow. I used to. Oh, leaving a gap. All right.
What is the thing I do here to be
just pick a number between 38 and 48 is probably the way to go. Okay. In the middle, whatever that number.
That's 42.
42. Okay. 48, 42, and 38 are our number picks. And the tiebreaker, we'll take a quick break. Wolfgang Puck, everybody. One of the most interesting stories, not only in cooking, but in life. And I must tell you this. I was at his restaurant, Cut, not 2 weeks ago, enjoying the bejesus out of everything on that menu. Said it once, say it again. The difference between one of his restaurants, Cut, the steak joint. You go to, you know, everyone in their town has the steak joint, the good steak joint.
There are some good ones.
Yeah, everyone has your Outback Steakhouses and your chain places, which are fine for you and the family. But then there's it's the anniversary or the graduation.
Right.
Steak joint. That's a couple steps above, you know, the ones you see advertised on TV during the football games. The difference between Cut is the difference between the Outback and the Arnie Mortons. That's the difference between the Arnie Mortons and the Cut.
Okay, I happen to think Arnie Mortons is one of the best
steaks
in the world.
I love Arnie.
I totally get that.
I love Arnie Mortons, and it's quite a quantum leap above your Outback Steakhouse.
Is it because of the Buick?
The difference between Cut is the difference between that and that. I don't know what's different. I can just tell you there is a huge difference, and I didn't think... Once you eat at Arnie Morton's, which is just a good steakhouse.
A fine steakhouse. So is Ruth Chris.
Yeah, once you eat at those places, you go, okay, this is as good as steak gets. Ah, contraire. Wolfgang Puck makes it differ. We'll talk to him next.
Look at this morning's program. Here's our program director, Jack Silver.
Happy Flash Friday, peeps. Today, we got celebrity chef Wolfgang Puck, comedian Dave Attell, from Is the Soup, Joe McHale. From 2020, John Stossel, and a big announcement about Teresa's fake wedding. Hey, Blackjack's not a betting man, but my book says he's not real. Hey!
That's why you're the boss, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, self-made man, Wolfgang Puck. in studio. Great to see you, Wolfgang.
Good morning. It's great to see you.
I have, as I mentioned last time we were here, I saw your biography, and you want to talk about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Wolfgang Puck is old school.
My point, he pulled himself up by other people's bootstraps.
Yes.
And he didn't even have his own boots.
Poor, his stepdad stole his bootstraps.
He had no bootstraps, man. How am I pulling myself up?
He pulled himself up by slipper straps, left the house as a young teen, ridiculed in his village, went off to cook in France, relegated to peeling potatoes.
Ended up ringing a bell in Notre Dame.
Yes, it was a horrible life, but he came to the greatest country on the planet, and now he's a billionaire.
I remember, I've known Wolfgang a really long time, and as you may or may not know, I'm in the middle of getting divorced right now. And I remember you had your problem when I spoke to you last, and I thought, does it hurt more to give up half of billions than it does to give half up millions? Because I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Did it stay like crazy, or are you just so rich? You said, here, here's a couple of billion dollars. Don't bother me.
You know what? It actually didn't feel the same for me. I said, you know what? Baba and myself build you know, the restaurants and did everything together, and she deserves half of it. So I think I don't feel bad about it at all. I think going through divorces, you know, it's never an easy thing. But it's expensive, but well worth it.
I saw.
Yes, yes, right.
I saw.
How long were you married?
I was married from 84 to 2002. So.
But here's the thing in Wolfgang's situation versus a lot of guys' situations. According to the biography I saw, your ex-wife is the one who was the mastermind, or at least co-mastermind, behind Spago's and other restaurants. I mean, she built the empire right alongside Wolfgang. Oh. So she deserves what she invested on, as opposed to some, you know,
waitress,
trophy wife who marries the rich attorney and then wants a divorce.
Yeah, no, I think I didn't have any problems with, you know, that she gets half of the restaurant, you know, and I work at it, and now she makes a good living. She doesn't have to work really.
Oh,
so I think.
So you are better.
Is that what you heard out of Will?
As long as I'm happy, I think that's really the main thing.
You seem happy. You seem invigorated.
Oh, yeah. Seems happy.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I think life, for me, it's not what happened yesterday. It's what happened today and tomorrow.
Do you have a new love today?
Yeah, no, I'm married and I have two kids.
This is the first wife. Okay, got it.
That's right. See, for me, it's not only what happened yesterday, but what happened to other people yesterday. I'm that far removed from my life.
No,
not even what happened to me.
You know, when you're an immigrant, you're an optimist. You know, you're not going to leave your country and think, oh my God, something might be wrong over there too. You go and find the better part.
Well,
and I think that's for me the most important part.
Let me ask you, Wolfgang, because we were speaking about this earlier this morning. You are a shining example of this country and immigration at its best. You came here with nothing but the entrepreneurial spirit. All you wanted was a level playing field, and you were able to achieve, and not only achieve, but I was sitting at your restaurant enjoying my Kobe beef, and if you never came to this country, I would have been sitting at a Denny's enjoying a Grand Slam. I'm glad you came here and brought your worldly experience to my country so that I could consume it on a Saturday night with my wife. I think you're a great example of immigration working. What is wrong with today's immigration, or have we always been saying that?
I think I really believe this country is made up of immigrants. All of us came, or most of us came from somewhere. And I really believe there are so many immigrants out there, like in our restaurants. You know, if we wouldn't have people, Latin people coming to work, who would do all the jobs? So I think it's really important. The people who come to work, pay their taxes, raise their families here. So I think they should be allowed to get the green card and be in the country.
Mr. Puck first came here and he was mowing my lawn, because that's how all immigrants start, is mowing my lawn. I remember, that guy's going to go places. Look at that hedge. It's perfect. It's a topiary,
Wolfgang,
for Christ's sake.
Wolfgang, when you first got here, what was your first job? Was it in a restaurant?
Yeah, absolutely. I worked in restaurants in Austria. I did my apprenticeship. Then I went to France and worked in some of the great restaurants like Beaumanier and Maxim's. And then I came to New York. I didn't really like New York after Paris, and I ended up in Indianapolis.
Indiana,
yeah.
Right?
And I really loved Indianapolis for a year, got my papers and everything, and moved to L.A., and I'm here since 75.
You've often said that Indianapolis is the hub of international cuisine.
You have never seemed more foreign to me.
Yeah.
So I go to New York City, and this place blows, so I check out Indiana.
That's why my accent is still so strong. You know?
No, I can see it, because the Midwest is very pleasant, and the people are nice.
Chicago is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, right? No, absolutely. I like to go back, actually, to Indiana, to Indianapolis. I went last year to the race there, and, you know, it's really a lot of fun.
You meant Oktoberfest is today, correct?
I don't know.
When
is it October already? No.
Hey,
I think we're in September.
Hey, Wolfgang Puck, by the way, is going to be celebrating the 25th anniversary of the American Wine and Food Festival, which I believe Bald Brian went to last year and came back tickled pink.
Raving.
What an event.
Yeah.
Saturday, September 29th. It's up at Universal Studios. Then I'd like to go because it's close enough for me to drive home.
No, absolutely. You know, it's the only place you'll talk about restaurants. You can actually eat in 30 or 40 restaurants in one night, taste wines for many people, just get the designated driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, where else can you eat with all these chefs?
How many restaurants?
We have like 40 restaurants this year.
So, you know, I've said that. I've gone out on a Saturday night and only eaten at 8 or 9 restaurants and went, this ain't cutting it.
So I think
you're getting into the low 30s.
Yeah, I got a game. This will be cool. You know, there are people, I don't know if you would do this, but people I would consider like you, that one of their main goals in life is to see a ball game at every major league ballpark in America.
Mm-hmm.
What if we had dinner at every single one of Puck's restaurants?
Mm.
What a thing over the years.
You could do a lot worse than that.
You could do a lot. What a great game that would be.
But
like we hit bonuses for ratings or something, find a little extra dough. We all fly off to one of his restaurants together and have dinner.
That sounds like a good idea. But here on Saturday, the 29th, is even better because you can eat, for example, in a chef from Japan, Yuki Wakia is there. You can, Paul Poidom is coming. Lydia Shire is coming. Nobu Matsuisa is coming. So all these
they
famous
come
restaurants.
To you. Okay, Nobu, is that the Nobu guy?
Yeah, Nobu
Matsuisa. That's actually, I was going to make a joke about only people in certain kind of businesses throw out names like they're important and you don't have any idea what he's saying. But not that's the real Nobu guy?
That's the
Mr.
real...
Mr. Nobu?
That's Nobu Matsuisa.
I've eaten there. I call it no food.
No.
I believe they're hungry. It's good, but they don't give you enough.
Well, it's a little expensive.
I'll tell you the way to eat at Nobu. Go to Nobu. I've been to Nobu a few times. Go with your agent and have him bring his charge card from his agency and let William Morris or whoever pay for it and then have him go nuts overcompensating, thinking there's not going to be enough food. That's the way to go.
But this year also we have another event on Friday night because the event on Saturday night is $300. So we have a party on Saturday night at the Pacific Design Center, not too far from here.
Yeah.
It's $150. It's all about steak. So Cut Steakhouse going to be there. And we're going to have SW from Steve Wynn, Kraft Steakhouse from New York. So we have all these different places getting great wine and steaks.
I've got to say, one of the greatest gifts you can give to yourself is a nice night out. A nice night out dining. It really is. It's one of those things where you go, hey, I like me. I'm going to feed me some Kobe beef. It really is. It's one of these things that's sort of important that you don't think about. All the folks that are scrimping and saving and rubbing their nickels together. Think about psychologically the message you send to yourself when you go, I'm going out and I'm going to the best and I'm going to spend a bunch of money and I'm going to put it right in my face and I'm not going to leave with anything.
I may add to that, you should dress.
Dress?
Yeah.
You should dress reasonably well.
And then try this Kobe beef. I got to tell you, people, I've gone to Cut probably 4 or 5 times now. It is a cut above, pardon the pun. It is absolutely amazing. You didn't think steak could get this good. And not just the steak, the rest, they take the corn. I don't know why corn gets so much better when you pay a guy to drag a knife across it and drop it onto the plate and remove it from the cob.
Yeah.
But the corn right from the cob, little butter, little pepper. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it's, you know what? If you really saute it, right, you cook it so it gets caramelized, so the sugar caramelizes in the corn. So it's really a great side dish. And you know, sometimes then winter comes and people always tell me why we don't have corn in the winter, just like tomatoes, because it's not seasonal.
Right.
So we only use seasonal ingredients, ingredients who come from around our area. You know, we get the corn from the Chino farms. We go to the farmer's market every Wednesday and Sunday. So
I went to cut once during the winter and said, give me that fresh cut corn. And they said, we don't have it.
Yeah.
And I pulled a one of those butterfly knives out of my hip pocket, and I grabbed the guy by the collar. And I was like, you better change your, you got about 5 seconds, change your answer, son. And he said, Mr. Grosser, it's not in season. I was like, don't give me that season crap. Corn's year round. Around, brother. Now go find some. And I pushed him.
Did you tell me you were going to carve little yellow chunks out of them?
Yes.
And you didn't get them?
I didn't know.
I'm so sorry this had to happen to you.
I didn't know. I didn't even know corn had a season.
Can I ask you a business food question? There's a thing out here in L.A. that I believe was mostly the city. First, it was private investors put in hundreds of millions of dollars on a thing called Hollywood and Highland.
Yeah.
It was a disaster. And the city had to take it over for hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was a disaster. It's huge, and there's giant elephants from movie sets. It's crazy looking.
Yes.
So then somebody went to put in money downtown a little further, and then Hollywood and Highland took off all of a sudden. And from what I hear, it's you. That almost every restaurant in there, no matter what nationality of food it serves, no matter the name on it, you have something to do with almost every establishment in that place. Is that true?
Not quite that, but we do a lot of things there. We do the catering in the theater. We have the big ballroom out there. We have
the
restaurant
Oscars
called
are
Verde
shot there.
Up there. Yeah.
Okay, there's three. Wait, so I'm right, really.
Yes.
three restaurants
right there in one building.
Verde, yeah. Verde. No, and you know, the funny thing is, it started on the wrong foot, mainly because of the city got involved. They charged $10 for a parking for no reason, you know, and people complained. I said, I don't want to pay a $10 parking and go to dinner. So
city
it was a problem.
City getting greedy about parking?
Yeah. They got very, very greedy, but then they changed their mind. It took them a little while, and now the new owners are doing a great job.
They
didn't
change their mind. We changed their mind by not wanting to pay their $10
You're absolutely
for the
crappy
parking space. Hey, Wolfgang Puck, I am going to see you on Saturday, September 29th at Universal Studios, and then again on Friday. The Pacific Design Center.
Yeah, you like steaks, you have to come to the Pacific Design Center. We have all the best steak restaurants, really, what I consider, from around the country, and we're going to have great Cabernet Sauvignons, tequila. Patron Tequila is doing a big bar, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. This is why the terrorists hate us, everybody. We have conventions
for steak.
For steak in huge design centers.
Yeah, and by the way, Kobe beef, isn't that made by, they massage the cow and play music?
No. They don't massage them. That's not true. It's just I don't know how this whole thing came, that they fed them beer, that they massaged them or whatsoever.
It's a myth.
It's a myth.
Whatever.
If they feed them alcohol and then the Asian people rub them, I am Kobe beef.
It's like when Danny said, I'm so rich. I don't know where he got them from.
Possibly seeing your name on everything that is frozen. We need to take a break. We will come back. We will do the news. T, what's
in it? Very breaking story about O.J. Simpson. He's being investigated right now for an incident in Vegas. I will tell you about that. And we have a recording of Kanye West backstage at the VMAs going off.
Good times. We'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. On the way this morning, comedian Dave Attell.
You know, my drink is Jack Daniels. Yes. Because on Jack, you don't know where you're going to end up, but you know when you get there, you won't be wearing any pants. That's the way it works.
Soup's Joel McHale.
Now, the one in the middle, we need to start taking cheeseburgers away from her now and put her on a treadmill.
2020's John Stossel.
Well, basically, here's fruit.
And much more talk about Teresa Strasser's love life. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, it is. Wolfgang Puck is off to the fish market. Man, that guy lives it every day. Or maybe that's just some Austrian code for his girlfriend's house. Either way, he's moving and shaking. My dog Molly in studio. I was just about to give my dog Molly a little taste of Wolfgang's chocolate chip cookie he left behind. And then I realized, I gave my Molly girl a little taste of some chocolate ice cream the other night before we went to bed. and at 3:30.
Uh-oh.
Not 3:15 and not 4:10, but at 3:30, she vomited, not on the carpet, but on me. Well, I was asleep. She used that little part, the comforter, on my, I was on my stomach, that little basket, the comforter forms right underneath your ass. She thought that'd be a nice place to throw up. And
that's where my cat would bring me dead things.
There's two kinds of throw up dogs do. There's the kind of little bit of bile that comes up, looks like some funny mucus. And
this
then
is amazing.
I'm throwing up. And Molly threw up on my ass at 3:30 in the morning two nights ago, which is, it's just, you know, getting up and taking a leak, that'll wake you up a little bit. But the dog chucking all over the comforter in the middle of the night is just like you're cleaning and dealing. And there's no such thing as, F it, I'll get it in the morning because you have a mountain of throw up on your back.
I got to wonder about that one, really. Mm. Well, by the end of my drinking career, I wouldn't bother me a moment. I wouldn't budge. Mm-hmm. I'd say, well, there was that. I'm wondering if I've gotten so used to that back in the old days. If it just went from being mine to the dogs, if I'd actually get up.
Yeah, you don't know who you'd have to dust for vomit, as they said in Spinal Tap. You wouldn't know whose vomit was.
I used to do a joke.
You see crass in it, probably yours.
It wasn't that funny because it was true, but, you know, I had a tendency, I'd wake up in a phone booth covered in vomit that I couldn't prove was mine. they were ugly days. So I don't know that I'd get up for Molly.
The problem is once you know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's that thing, and we've all done this before, where we go to bed and we have to kind of take a leak, but we're too lazy and we just go to bed, and then you're thinking about it. You know you're going to get up, or you do that thing where you haven't set your alarm, but you're going to keep an eye on the clock. It just ruins your sleep. Whatever you're bumped by, take care of it in the next 2 minutes and then sleep like a baby. For me, it was for another hour and 15 minutes. All right, Molly in studio. Teresa Strasser, no dog. She's in studio. Dave Attell, comedian coming up soon. But first, Teresa Strasser and the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
President Bush addressed the country last night in a primetime address. He's got a new plan. By the end of the year, he says 5,700 U.S. troops will come home, followed by a gradual pullback through July of next year. His new plan is called Return on Success.
Strategery.
Let's take a listen to him explaining.
The principle guiding my decisions on troop levels in Iraq is return on success. The more successful we are, the more American troops can return home.
5,700, did he say, would be coming home?
By the end of next year.
Yeah. Did you say whether they'd be alive?
But it's a weird, right. I mean, return on success basically means if you guys do a good job, you can come home.
Yeah.
If not, you're going to have to stay over
there. Well, what it does is it just qualifies it, because if we don't want to bring them back, then I said it's if we were successful.
Right.
And by the way, I'm the one who gets to judge whether we're successful or not. So you're qualified, and thus no one's ever really going to call you out on it, although he's been called out before. It's really just a return to what it was before the buildup. So I don't know if it's any great victory for those who are looking to get out of Iraq.
Well, the plan would leave about 130,000 U.S. troops in Iraq after July. Roughly the same number serving there before Bush ordered the surge.
Mm. Yeah, before he called victory.
Shouldn't this plan be, how about you nut jobs get your ass together? That'd be my better one.
Okay.
Hey, you guys all pray to the same God. Do you think you could quit shooting each other for 10 minutes?
Nope. Sorry. No can do.
Awesome. I love religion.
I need this bitch in a burqa right now.
I love religion. I love the fact that even the folks that both kneel and pray toward Mecca and fear Allah are going at it. That's what I love. I really don't know anything other than these guys, the Sunnis and the Shiites and whoever else, whatever tribe is warring over there. It's not like one of them's Jewish and one of them's Catholic and one of them's Sunni and one of them's whatever. They're all Muslim, aren't they?
Yeah.
They, even within their own bizarre, twisted, retarded cult, they can still figure out a way to kill each other. That's the beauty of religion.
Well, it is, just because I think it's a way, way nastier version in everybody's eye. it's not that big of a difference between what was going on in Ireland with the was Catholics and Protestants.
Yeah.
They're both hardcore Christians.
But it's quaint when white people do it.
Yeah.
The more you know.
It is true. Like when you,
sometimes I don't think you and I read the same books.
When you hear about the terrorists blowing up a school bus or something, you're like, those sick animals. And when you hear about in Ireland, it's like, all right, listen, Bono, get over there and write a song and let's get this straightened out.
I just picture Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, let's lift a pint and put this behind us.
Right.
Come on. Or someone make a movie about it with Jeff Bridges. Let's go.
The English are like that. Do you remember, I'm assuming you do, the night John Lennon was shot? And they caught Paul McCartney walking down the street. And he said, yeah, he's a wonderful guy. He'll be sorely missed. Cheers, mate. Walks off.
Yeah.
They didn't even frown. And I don't know if he just hated John Steele. I heard they were friends again. I think the British just do that stiff upper lip thing all the time.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got an idea too.
Come on, Whitey, get with the killing.
Well, this is an awkward transition, but O.J. Simpson's back in the news.
Oh. Come on, Blackie.
Now,
let's keep with the killing.
Okay, I don't know. Have you guys been to Vegas recently? Because in my recollection...
See, I modify that just a little.
I got that. The Palace Station Casino. Do you guys know the Palace Station Casino?
Hell yes, I know the Palace Station. Well...
Ish?
Here's what I know about the Palace Station Casino.
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel knows somebody that has something to do with that.
Okay.
And Jimmy wasn't always the rich late night show host that he is. And for the first five times we went to Vegas, we either went to the Continental and watched Cookie Crumbled in the Jars perform, or we went to the Palace Station, which was a palace compared to the Continental, where Kimmel lost his virginity some years earlier in
is
the parking lot.
In the parking lot?
Sure. I tripped over the plaque on the way to the casino.
Is that near Wayne Allen's Jimmy Star?
I thought you meant
plaque on her teeth.
No, Jimmy had a plaque put there. I think maybe after he got the late night gig, they put it there.
That's very sweet. Well, perhaps
it's off the strip and not a great. Any hotel that has a choo-choo train out front is a bad bad sign.
Well,
anything, restaurants, hotels, anything that has a train out front, it's not four-star luxury.
Right. So it's not the most luxurious of Vegas hotels, let's say that. Well, OJ was there. Now, hotel sources say that he did not have a room booked, but they confirmed that he was spotted in the hotel Thursday night. Now, why is this important? Mm-hmm. Las Vegas police are saying that they are investigating an incident involving OJ Simpson. They're investigating it this morning. The Hall of Famer allegedly broke into a room at the Palace Station Casino sometime yesterday in connection with a burglary.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're investigating. Mm. So there's some allegations now that OJ was at the Palace Station breaking into a room.
I'll tell you, if I was a widely recognizable celebrity and I was going to rob a place, I'd pick a dive. I'd say, you know, if I'm going to get flat out busted because O.J. Simpson just kicked in the door and stole my fake pearls, I wouldn't, you know, why go to the Venetian or anything like that when you can go to the PlayStation or whatever the hell it is?
Well, did he know? I mean, whoever got ripped off didn't know O.J. was coming to rip him off.
Right. Well, this is now just breaking and there aren't very many details, but the Las Vegas PD is confirming they have questioned O.J. along with several other people. No arrests have been made.
Yeah, well, if O.J. can't...
Who's he hanging out with?
Well, whatever. But the point is O.J. must be somewhere between bored and amused when he gets popped for stuff like this. He's got to look at whoever's questioning him, you know, blowing cigarette smoke in his face, going, listen, O.J., I could ruin your life. And he must be going, look, I killed two people with a knife, all right? And then drove home and worked on my short game on my lawn for 10 minutes. I got out of that one. Believe me, breaking in your crappy motel, this is nothing.
Well, I should repeat, these are, the police are just investigating. No arrests have been made. These are just allegations, but it is a breaking story, and I will keep you up to date on that. And also on the OJ front, Fred Goldman and his daughter Kim were on Oprah yesterday. They were explaining why they released OJ's book, If I Did It.
Mm-hmm.
They basically said that they're publishing it to get justice, and it's the only justice that they've been given. Now, it was interesting because I haven't heard much from Marsha Clark.
Now, when they say justice, They mean compensation.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Which is fine with me.
Yeah, but they were ordered compensation, so it is
right.
really justice. It's not just,
right.
here's the money. The court said, wow, we didn't get him on murder like we should have.
Yeah.
But now this new jury came to their senses and said he did it.
I don't, you know, for me, it's like somebody said, this guy who ruined my life owes me $10 million, except for he has no money, and he's going to move to Florida, where evidently they don't have laws, so he's just going to golf. Until the Grim Reaper takes him, and then all of a sudden we find his baseball card collection, and I'm putting it on eBay going, good, right. I'm going to get my money back, and everyone's going, how dare you?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
My feeling's like, F you.
Well, one sad facet of the story is that this has caused a rift between the Goldmans and the Browns. So Denise was also on the Oprah show, but she wouldn't appear with the Goldmans. They're angry about the breakup
of the
proceeds.
Glorifies what OJ did or justifies it or whatever-fies it. I mean, it just makes him look that much worse and they get compensated.
Well, I think the Goldmans really fought for the compensation and then the Browns, you know, wanted their part of it. And a judge basically said, well, no, the Goldmans really started this fight.
Wow.
And so now there's a rift between them. Marsha Clark was on Oprah talking about OJ and talking about the trial and whether or not she would buy the book. Here's what she had to say.
No, there's not a day that's gone by since the verdict that I haven't woken up and thought about Ron and Nicole and their families and the way I failed to bring justice to the case. I'll never forgive myself. And if there's something I can do to help them, I will. That's why I'm here.
So you're buying the book?
I will probably, like the other woman said, burn it. It's foul and it's despicable. But if it helps the Goldmans in some way, I can't say I'll read it, but I'd buy it.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah, I used to, when he was not my friend, Howard Stern's movie came out.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see it, but I didn't want to give him $9. So I bought a ticket to the movie in another theater and snuck in.
It was Man Cow, the movie.
Yeah. Because I wanted him to have my cash.
My story by Man Cow. Still.
All right. Well, everyone knew that Kanye West was very angry when he did not win anything at the VMAs for the second year in a row on Sunday. But we didn't realize how furious he was until this was released. Here is some audio of Kanye after he realized he was not going to win anything, throwing a sort of embarrassing tantrum.
Give a black man a chance, man. MTV. Tell him what the I said. Y'all had these lights, man. 5 nominations. Lost the Black Eyed Peas last year, man. I'm never coming to MTV. Y'all find Britney. Get Britney. Get a real artist. Get Britney Spears.
That's it.
I ain't with this pop, man. Last 2 years in a row, man. Get off this, man. I love this, but man, God, man. Give a chance, man. Give a black man a chance. I'm trying hard, man. I got the number one record, man. I'm trying, man. I'll give a chance, man.
It was the exact same best man speech I made at Kimmel's wedding. Exactly.
How did
he lifted it. I don't know if we got it on the internet. I don't know how it went, but it's a word for word, my best man speech at Kimmel's wedding. So I'm pissed now. Hey, speaking of Kanye West fans, my dad,
what?
Jim Carolla's on the phone. Dad?
Who? Yeah, hello?
It's you.
Yeah, it's my 76th birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank God we don't give gifts or cards in our family.
Were you aware it was your pops' birthday?
I actually thought it was yesterday because I'm always in that panic mode where, oh, my God, I forgot to call, and then I do the day late thing. So I was going to call you today. But, Dad, happy birthday. I thought it was yesterday. Didn't you tell me it was the 14th?
Yeah, today's the 14th.
Oh, Christ. I got to fire my assistant, Dad.
Mr. Carolla.
I'll take him.
Mr. Carolla, is there anything we don't know about your son?
I guess there's a lot you don't know, but what could I say that...
Maybe I could change the question, make it easier for you. Is there anything you know about your son?
He's 76, people.
Thought he might have some insights.
No, he started packing it in his 50s. He's now coasting.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Carolla, do you have any birthday plans for today?
No, I don't. Baden, I wanted to remind you of my birthday celebration and my lecture.
Oh, my dad's having a lecture.
On January on the 20th of September.
I'm going to be there, Dad.
Oh, great.
What's the topic?
Yeah.
What is the topic, sir?
The power of the misuse of power. Psychological.
Like when your son gets a radio show and you call in to plug your lecture?
Well, no, I don't want anybody else to be there for the radio show.
All right.
Oh, sweet irony.
Dad, you can't talk about something on the radio and then say you don't want anyone to show up unless you're a diabolical genius.
Right.
And he's using his mojo reverse psychology. Yeah, Dad said off the air only smart people should show up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, only good-looking and smart people should show up.
Dad?
Yeah, so he's not interested in you people.
Well, where is this lecture taking place? Do you know, Adam?
In my dad's head.
At my, psychotherapy office in Sherman Oaks. And I give a lecture about once a month, but mostly on psychological, kind of dash spiritual subjects.
My dad is a very spiritual man. I don't know that he's a religious man per se, but he's a very spiritual man. My dad, well, I don't even know what to call it, and I don't have enough time in the morning to get my dad to describe it. But my dad is one of these guys who goes to these retreats on weekends and does some menial, repetitive task while he just sits there and finds himself.
Oh,
so he'll sit there and sand a block of wood for 12 hours and think about sanding the block of wood, which is something we should all probably discipline ourselves to do.
I did it this morning.
I go to Kimmel's house and watch 26 TV sets with my earbuds in my ears listening to an iPod on Sunday. That's what I do.
Well, that's your religion.
Yeah. Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
76 years young.
Right.
And, you know, the thing about my dad is what you call low mileage. He has barely any miles on him.
Right. You could drive him another 100,000 miles.
Yeah. He's an old car, but he's been in the garage most of his life.
Right, and he's had regular maintenance.
Yeah. I mean, Dad, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You never toiled in the sun. You didn't have a drinking problem. You're not a chain smoker. You didn't have a bunch of messy divorces. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You didn't, sorry, Danny.
Yeah.
You don't have all that. You're low mileage. If you see my dad, you'll see a 76-year-old guy who looks brand new.
Yeah.
Still got the plastic on him.
Mm-hmm. My mom looks brand new, but it's actual plastic.
Really? She was covered. Huh. Hey, Dad?
Yeah.
Do you have any parting shots for us?
I would like to, from time to time, maybe go into some little deeper subjects, even psychologically and the meaning of life.
All right. I'll give you the hotline number over at Mark and Brian. Hey, Dad.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a hotline.
Here's the point. I'll be honest.
Yeah, what'd you say?
You can form your thoughts, make them funny and cohesive, and then call in. We can do that, but we can't stumble through 10 minutes of bad radio twice a month.
Oh, sure we can. I need more drops.
Although,
Bald,
yes.
It's an embarrassment of riches for Bald Brian.
Yeah. I mean,
we can either stumble through 10 minutes of bad radio or run through 10 minutes of bad radio like usual. It's up to Mr. Carolla.
Yes. So you know what I'm saying, Dad?
We can't discuss Nietzsche and that group.
I can.
Sure we can.
Whatever doesn't kill you makes you wish you were dead.
No, like now. We can discuss anything no matter how weighty the topic is, but we can't stumble through it. Do you know what I'm saying? So you want to get it together and come on in here. We can talk Nietzsche.
And I would hesitate to give any kind of advice to your father. Not only is he, you know, my boss's dad, but also my old teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have double respect.
Right.
But I would say also, even though we call ourselves Free FM, we were once KLSX. So there should be some nasty, dirty sex somewhere in this story when you tell it.
Oh, I think that stood for classics, by the way.
Yeah. No.
I think the KLSX is because they used to play oldie.
No,
it was a classic.
Yes, for sex.
Classic rock format.
I just had this fight with, what's his name, the Cosmo, he calls himself my boss.
Hey. Wait,
yes.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Can you play some Fog Hat in the background so we can keep our classic rock format going? Hey, Dad, you were Bonaducci's teacher, were you not?
Yes.
Oh, well, now there's something to talk about, old man.
Do you
forget about Nietzsche. What about Bonaducci over
here?
We both have the same Superman complex.
What year were you Bonaducci's teacher?
I would say, what year would that be? That would be like late 60s, maybe beginning 70s.
Early 70s.
Was a very was a very difficult school, and I did. I remember being protective of him, and because there were some. There were some children of need, and that was the background of violence and so on. He knows. He made
it was a school for troubled kids.
My name is Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that must have been a very fulfilling job.
Yeah, it was a difficult job, and Danny was one of the younger ones, and it was just
and famous. A young, white, and famous.
Were there other
at this prison camp?
Other famous kids at the prison school, or just troubled kids?
No, famous for their being criminals.
Right.
Wow, were the kids violent ever towards you?
Not towards me, but they were violent towards each other, and Danny was like. You know, I was younger and smaller, so I had the feeling that that I felt protective to him.
Thank you, sir. Mm. You're very kind, and I remember it that way myself exactly.
Did you, Dad, was this the school that you got lemonade dumped on your head?
A lemonade dumped on my head.
It wasn't lemonade, sir.
geez, you really were bad.
It might have been.
Dad, please tell me you remember this. It's the only conversation I remember having with you.
And he doesn't remember the incident.
And you don't remember the one conversation I remember having?
I don't remember the lemonade.
I'm afraid your father remembers more stories about his time with me than
you. I have one. I kind of have a pressing question. I know we have to go to break, but Mr. Carolla, sometimes you didn't go to Adam's football games.
Have I brought that up?
And I was curious if you regret that now.
I went to a lot of his football games. There was more there, but I did go to his football games.
Yeah, not so much in high school, but
earlier.
Right.
Yeah, and
where did you live in relation to the high school, Dad?
It's very, very close by. Yeah.
Across the street?
I remember. Yeah, I mean, I went to some of those games. I mean, I didn't go to all of them.
Right.
I went. The game when you were injured, was that high school?
No.
That was
Pop Warner.
Pop Warner, right.
Yes. You were there for that one.
Yeah.
I remember that.
We went on the field and. In fact, okay.
All right.
That was Pop Warner.
Well, are you proud of your son?
Hell yeah. When I get into more serious moments and more alone, he's very insightful, psychologically, has a real deep part of him, and when we enjoy talking, sometimes at a much deeper level, and he has that capacity.
He most certainly does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gay.
I know.
Nice.
My dad doesn't like me making fart jokes for 4 hours
right,
every day
he
when
knows,
I have the capacity to go
to
deeper.
More, yeah, you are insightful.
It's a balance, Pops.
Huh?
It's a balance. You know how it works. Yeah. Hey, Dad?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you.
I am going to get my assistant to run over a fruit basket as we speak.
Okay.
All right, Dad. So we'll see you on the 20th, though.
Okay.
I'll be there. Maybe I'll bring Bonaducci.
Oh, yeah.
You guys can reunite.
Reminisce, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Okay.
All right, Pops. Get some rest.
Bye.
All right. Adam has just started a new organization called... don't intentionally condescend knowingly. Better known as dick.
God. I can screw around
that
with my dad.
Interesting because day. No, but he's troubled because he knows how insightful you are and wishes you were talking about Nietzsche.
Well,
you know what? That's actually valid. That's a really valid argument.
Here's the thing about my dad.
His boy is working with my dad's boy.
In my relationship.
Somebody's not proud.
Here's the relationship I have with my dad that is different than a lot of people's. My dad is not interested in sports. Perhaps you could tell by him living across the street from the high school where his son was all filing and not going to the games.
But he drafted by many colleges.
Is not interested in sports, not interested in cars.
Damn,
not interested, man. You were good at football in high school. Not interested in building, not interested in anything. You can't go to a ball game. It's not like I can go to a Dodger game with my dad. He can't do it. You can't go to a car show with him. You can't go to a movie with him. There's nothing you can do with my dad, but you can go out to dinner and you can talk about what he considers and what may be the ultimate topic, which is the human condition.
See, I'd go with your dad.
I mean, quite frankly,
I enjoy working with you for the laughs and the fun, but if I had to go to dinner on a regular basis, well, first of all, I don't like sports and I love cars, but just to drive them.
Right.
But people that speak in not clear and concise senses, really, because we do that, but have ideas that they can't back up with concrete evidence. It's a theory, but they'll back it up with sheer will. That's an interesting dinner to me.
Hell yeah.
Well,
I didn't know you were still there.
No. That's Paul Bryant.
Glad I was saying something nice to
Here's
you.
The deal. It sucks when you're 13 and you want to throw the ball around and dad doesn't know what a baseball mitt is. And then when you hand him one, he puts it on his head. My dad is good for nothing but going out and talking about what, again, could be the most important topic in life.
Yeah, but you talk so for a living now, so it's interesting.
Yeah, so if you're an adult and you have a baseball mitt and you have someone else to play catch with or you're no longer interested in it, then have my dad for your dad and go out and learn about Nietzsche sitting around eating at Cut with Wolfgang Puck. It just sucked from zero to about 18, and now it's great.
At my dad's funeral, my brother was giving the eulogy, and he said, I remember growing up was a little different, and I looked at my dad one day, and I said, Dad, do you want to have a catch? And my dad said, well, okay, son. Of course, I was 40 then. And he wasn't kidding. It had bothered him his whole life. He never had a catch with his dad. He threw the ball to my dad, who has had three strokes, and so it just bounces off the side of his face. And my dad looks at him and goes, not all it's cracked up to be, is it, son? Swear to God, totally true story.
I, by the way, just to let you in on what a fan my dad was, I was 11 when I had that injury.
He does remember it, though.
Hell yeah.
Yes, nowhere near high school at that age.
But I do remember him looking out for me, though, man.
Well,
that was nice.
Good guy.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Clearly.
No doubt about it. All right, we'll take a break. Speaking of good guys, Dave Attell. Comedian Dave Attell is coming in studio. We'll talk to him next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Sometimes you need a cigarette, though, right? Like after sex, you want a cigarette. After you have sex with a beautiful woman or a confused young man. And after bad things happen, you need a cigarette, right? Like, let's say, I don't know, you kill a guy with a hammer. You need a cigarette. Because sex and murder are the same. Well, you say the same after both, don't you? Damn, I gotta get the hell out of here. What was I thinking?
And now, comedian Dave Attell on The Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Dave.
Thank you. Adam, I'd like to extend a happy birthday to your father. And I can tell it's so... An ice has formed in the studio because there is some unattended issues, I believe, between you and the old man.
Mm. Well,
can I give you a little advice?
Mm.
A fat march. It seems to bring people together. Have you been watching?
Mm-mm.
You haven't seen
the
it?
The show.
No.
Yeah, fat march.
Yeah.
What is that? How does that work?
I don't know if you know this, Mr. Sports. There's an obesity problem in America.
That kind of fat march. Yeah. I thought it was some sort of Mardi Gras celebration.
I did too at first. It's a Nuts Fat Tuesday. This is a reality show.
Fat March.
Yes, it's a reality show, and I don't know why I'm plugging it, maybe just because I think it's the new way to lose weight, which is to march, a forced march across America.
Until you're dropping pounds along the way.
Actually, I think you're going to get in a little trouble with copyright infringement.
What's that?
Remember all the weight they lost at the Bataan Death March?
Exactly.
And they were at the end?
Interesting.
Yeah. I think that march thing is... So, although we do know that it does work.
Skinny. You think my dad and I ought to have a fat march sorted out?
Yeah, or at least help a premise out at the end march.
Yeah.
You're like listening like, oh, so yes.
I like that. Oh, and there was a moment where you were giving your dad notes. You said, you know, have your thoughts together next time you call.
Well, really? my dad has a lot of retarded ideas about how showbiz works.
Oh, great.
See, I thought you played radio when you were kids. Like, you know, okay, you be the wacky caller. I'll be the semi-retard.
Yeah, my dad has a lot of good intentions, but he doesn't execute them very well. His plan. Well, he actually one time said to me,
"Yeah, hello."
When I used to do Love Line, he said, "I did the show for 11 years, by the way." He said, somewhere around year 7, he said, "How about I come on and do a little, you know, pop psychological corner? I'll just talk about Nietzsche and see if we can enlighten the kids." And
I said,
"All right, Dad, fine. That sounds like fun. Come on the show." He said, "Fine." I said, "What time's good for you? When do you think's good?" He said, "How about Friday, about 7 o'clock? I said, "Well, Dad, the show is Sunday through Thursday, and it starts at 10 in the evening. But thanks for listening."
Hey, at least you have a dad instead of dads.
No, how many?
My dad passed away, but
did?
Would people have more than one dad now?
Yeah. Well, get ready for a whole generation of kids with moms and dads.
Yeah, moms. Absolutely.
And it used to just be stepdad and biological dad, but now it's two, I don't know, life partner dads?
Baby daddies.
Right.
Yeah.
What's some other terms?
Can this be a good thing for society?
Kind of looks like me's.
Right. Dave, do you have any kids out there?
I don't. No, I don't. And I know you guys are all family-oriented here at the show, whether it's sucking up to Wolfgang for a free meal.
Sure, that's what I did.
What happened with OJ? That's what I wanted to know.
He's being investigated in Las Vegas for a alleged break-in at the Palace Station.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You've been there? You played there?
At the Palace Station?
Do you know it in Vegas?
What,
casino?
What casino
is that?
It's
got a choo-choo train out front.
Oh. It's right up there with the...
That's the other end of the strip, honey.
I haven't
hit that wall yet.
I thought people like broke out of the Palace Station. I didn't know anyone was trying to break in. Hey,
build a wall.
No offense to all the cheap-ass casinos out there, but do you ever go, you know, to Binion's, or you go somewhere at the end of the strip, or you go to these places where the carpet is bad from the 70s and everything looks, everything's a mess, and you think to yourself, the slot machines take the same quarters down the street at Caesars or at the Cool.
Yeah. Why not go there?
Yeah, but go to a place where you might run into George Clooney and one of the Maloof brothers. Yeah. What are you doing here? And the buffets everywhere, and the slot machines are slot machine, and blackjack. What's up with your self-esteem that you want to sit next to folks dragging around oxygen tanks with the crappy carpet down at the end of the strip?
Some of us call that homework.
Oh, is that?
Just getting prepared.
Yes, or some of the places have nickel slots, and the nice places don't. And I like to play the nickel slots.
Good name for TSV.
Yep.
Well, what do you say when you win at nickel slots? Like,
your big win is a dollar.
But it's 20 bangs of metal against steel. It's interesting. It's a great sound. There's certain sounds that are, you know, are just yummy, and you know that's a yummy sound.
Right. It's 20 minutes of this. Oh, this is great. There's a siren going off. It's 20 minutes. You're thinking, thank God I bet 4 nickels on this, baby, because I just got a royal flush. This goes on 20 minutes, and then you tally it up, and you have $1.85.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And no free drinks by the nickel slots, by the way. The waitresses don't come over there.
Dave Attell in studio, going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. Tickets available at improv.com, I should say, or daveattell.com. Dave, what's coming up for you other than the stand-up gigs?
Well, I got a special coming out, which I'm glad you brought it up because it wasn't on my card there.
No, it's not, but it's you're up to something. Yeah.
Yeah, HBO special, December, and it's called Captain Miserable. But that was not my first choice of titles. The first one was, well, there was other ones, mm-hmm. I guess, if you want to hear them all.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Okay, this could be a joke bag, guys, so get ready.
All right.
Okay. Ready. The first one was, this could be a joke bag, guys, so get down. I was going to, I wanted to call it Whorelarious, but you couldn't do that because if it goes into regular stores, you can't have it like
Good enough for HBO, but not right, for Walmart.
Not for Walmart. And then I was going to call it An Inconvenient Tooth. You know, mm-hmm. just to get that kind of
like
weird,
that, yeah.
that right. thing. And then I was going to call it Awkward Pause Right Now. Hello? Why don't you pretend I'm Wolfgang and just yum it up? The one I really wanted was 180 pounds of sad.
Uh-huh.
Don't you
I
like
that?
Don't you think it's good?
Yes.
I nobody can put that on and go like, this better be the oh, look at this. You know?
Yeah.
I think it'd be great. It'd make everybody feel better. You
bar
know?
Lowered right there. Yeah. Expectation level lowered.
But it's Captain Miserable. That's December, so.
Well, you keep bringing up Wolfgang, and I know you ran into him in the hall. And
yeah, he had that weird kind of positive, like, light in his eye, you know?
Yes.
Like, he's figured it all out.
Right.
And it has to be overpriced steak.
Well, you know, he's Captain Happy to your Captain Miserable.
Yeah, he's an entrepreneur. I respect that.
Really is.
I do.
And I don't know if you guys are like me. I suspect you are. Most celebrities are. You never felt lower, but I still stuck to my pathetic guns when you're trying to wrestle away some freebies from a guy like Wolfgang.
Yeah.
Like, Wolf, that wine, cheese, and beef festival that's going on over the universe. I'd love to come by with a few of my friends, you know, sort of, what can you do? And he's like, well, it's $300, but we can get you or whatever. Mm. But then the next thing out of his mouth is, you know, all the money goes to the Diabetics with AIDS Foundation.
Oh.
And you're like, still going to need those free tickets. There's that beat where you go, damn, we're all rich, and that money is going to diabetics with AIDS. And then you go, what the freebie? Come on, give it up.
Somewhere your dad just turned off the oldest radio. Click.
One of the tubes burnt out on Dad's Zenith.
I want a raffle. I want a car at a charity event that I was also emceeing. Mm-hmm. And I bought, being a really good guy, I thought, I bought 100 tickets, maybe more, I don't know, but let's just say I bought 100. And it turned out I won the car. I was fully expected to give that car back to be auctioned off again next year.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that was, like, expected. I thought it was guys that were really rich just did every now and again because they were nice.
No.
It's kind of a gimme if you're the host and the celebrity and you win the friggin' Corvette that you give it back to the sick kid.
Was it a Corvette?
Yeah.
Did you keep it?
No, I gave it to the sick kid.
Oh, that was...
You gave him a Corvette?
Well, no, I mean, in general.
This will make up for legs.
Dude, I want $500,000. I want $500,000. I want to be a millionaire.
He really is dying for that Corvette.
No.
It's like, give me some of the... That's $500,000. Why can't I have $25,000?
Dave, you ever won anything? I mean, obviously, you've won the lottery of life, but...
Sure, of laughter.
Of laughter, right. I mean.
I'm coming on last.
Why so sad?
I've been up for, like, whatever. It's so hard getting from New York to here. Last flight, whatever, waiting on the tarmac. Mm-hmm. But you know what I did for you guys? They gave me a hotel. I went and showered, came right over here. I was, like, the first guy here. The security guy saw me, like, waiting in the parking lot. I was like, uh-oh. It's happening.
You know,
like something from back in his homeland is like, oh, he's here now.
You do resemble a terrorist.
A little bit, to some degree.
You're swarthy.
Well, I get that a lot. I'm not a terrorist.
What is your nationality?
I'd like to think I'm an American by now. But I guess Russian, Jewish.
Uh-huh.
Maybe some Polish in there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the heavy cream countries, you know, the foods,
right,
that kind of thing.
Some Tunisia.
You do have a sort of Middle Eastern look. I don't know if it's the sort of, you know, constant Don Johnson beard or the steely eyes.
I shaved my beard.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what it is, but you could be mistaken for one. I mean, if I had
a full Bin Laden with like the little white streak.
Oh, really?
Did that thing.
Did Bin Laden use some Just for Men on his whatever?
Damn right, I don't know.
And
does the drapes match them like it?
No, he had that big old gray. First thing I noticed.
That's a little birthday gift, Corolla Senior.
That's the kind of talk he wants to hear about important international issues.
Wouldn't that be against the Quran?
No, I was just dyeing your beard.
Yes.
Do you have any fart jokes for Mr. Kroll's birthday? That's what he wants.
I think he's like the total opposite of that. He's like, let's put on some Carl Sagan and just relax.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What a minute. Did you have to watch Cosmos when you were growing up? My dad, thank God, had two agendas growing up. And they
open a comedy door, will you?
They conflicted because on one hand, he wanted to steep himself in knowledge passed right. on through the stages of life. And he wanted to sit around and read Jung and Nietzsche and,
wow.
you know, and study the life of all the great teachers. That was one mandate, the other, which was bad. But the good mandate he had was not to spend any meaningful time with his family.
Oh, so, a loner.
So he just sat around on the sofa and read most of the time. And, of course, you could sit next to him and read a little Eric Campbell, or you could go outside and beat the crap out of your buddy Ray.
Right.
And I chose beating the crap out of Ray.
Choose Ray.
Well, reading is the poor man's drinking.
Ray, yeah, beating the crap out of me. Yeah, my dad's an indoor cat. Okay. You know what I mean? He's not meant for the outdoor. He don't have claws. He hangs in and reads.
That's cool. Maybe you can get him a nice book jacket or a bookmark.
Right.
Maybe a hilarious bookmark would be good.
Yeah.
Zany.
Here's a bookmark.
We can put all the faces of like disappointment why he didn't come out and play. Like,
Plus, he doesn't seem to grasp how successful you are.
Yeah.
What you should do is get him some guy named Mark to hold his books open and let him know what you've become. Here's here's your bookmark. It's an actual guy. That's what I've become, Dad.
My dad and. You know, I speak in front of him. Like, my dad's one of those guys, like, you know how a owner of a pet and a veteran can, or not a veteran, but a
veterinarian
can speak freely in front of the dog?
Right.
Right.
That's kind of how my dad is. I know he listens on occasion, but I can speak freely in front of him. My dad is sort of good guy meets out of it. You know, means well, but doesn't burn a lot of calories doing anything. So he hangs out and he reads. And that's what's important to him. He doesn't have any interests other than reading.
Wow.
I hate reading.
See? There you go.
I believe it poisons the mind.
Well, this configuration seems, the father-son configuration seems very unusual. It seems like I know a lot of people who their dad just wanted them to be a football star, and they sucked at sports, and their dad was always disappointed. It seems like you could have, some other dad would have really dug having you.
Oh, my God. If I had another dad, I could make another dad very happy.
Yeah.
He'd be at the football games. Right. We would then be drinking a Budweiser and adding a deck onto
How
my house.
How psyched would some other dad have been?
Listen, the only thing my dad probably dislikes more than sports is building, and the only thing he likes less than building is cars, and those are the only three things I'm interested in.
I thought it was going to get racial. He was the most learned Klansman.
He wasn't actually a Klansman. They just used to call him, you know, Pointhead because he was so smart. He just got a hat that fit.
He told me once he thought about being a racist, but that burned a lot of calories.
Didn't have time.
You got to put the cross
up. You got to don the hood. You got to make the cross. You got to go defile the synagogue.
Right.
It's just, and look, the day the synagogue comes to the couch,
I'll
think about burning it down. Until that day, I'm opening my book and I'm staying put. Dave Attell is going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight. Through Sunday, everybody. Tickets available at improv.com, also DaveAttell.com. And look for Dave Attell, 180 pounds of sad.
No, Captain Miserable.
Misery.
Captain
Miserable.
Very close, though.
If only someone's dad was a reader, they could have read that correctly. Interunio.
Wow. good to see you always, my friend.
Thanks
Dave
Attell. So much for having me on.
We'll take a quick break, and I believe, I know Miss Joel McHale. Teresa knows him as Dreamboat. Joel McHale from The Soup.
I am not a porn star. I have appeared in porn.
On E! Is coming in next. He's brought his clips, and we'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV talk.
And we have a small pinky.
A small pinky.
A little, weird. I feel a little weird.
These men and women
give this show a political credibility, therefore it must be judged by higher standing even than shock jock.
From Ease the Soup, Joel McHale.
What? Oh, my God!
Don't be mad. It was a casting decision.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Dreamboat, Joel McHale in studio.
Yes.
From the Soup. He's brought his clips.
Yo, Gabba Gabba. Yes.
Excited to see Joel, who's one of the good ones.
God bless.
What do you got for us this morning, Joel?
Well, I'll be hosting the Emmys this weekend.
Ah.
We'll be watching.
Oh,
that. I'm sorry? Little Ellen is. That's right. It's
No, it's Little Ryan's Ellen. Secret.
Aww. No, Little Ellen.
I like to call him Little Ellen.
That's cute.
Good.
I'm sorry. All right.
Did he snub you at E anytime this week?
No, he does. He's actually very good because we take a dump on him all the time as far as taking, you know, telling jokes about him, and he's very good about it because I think he sees the pile of money that he has.
Right.
And in the morning, he's too distracted on whether he should drive the Aston Martin, the Bugatti, or just take the helicopter in. So he gets totally distracted. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, he was like, does Bugatti make a helicopter? Because I want to take a helicopter, but I also like the idea of being behind the wheel of a Bugatti.
I would not take an Italian helicopter anywhere.
Decent point. Italian helicopter seems like a move that board op Bill may have pulled off over the long week.
I was just going to say, they really haven't improved the design since Da Vinci.
It does sound like a gay move.
It
you
does.
Want that brother,
I was at the manhole.
That brother gives you, I was over at Mr. Fister, and I got the Italian helicopter.
Yeah, you have to wear this paisley handkerchief at your back pocket.
That
means Italian helicopter.
Yeah. All right, that means you're part of the ground crew. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. You know flipping out. You know Jeffrey Lewis.
By the way, I just saw him yesterday at the gym, and he said, Adam, that he still wants to see your house.
That's more gay code.
I didn't know that. What does it mean?
Well,
it's not quite the Italian helicopter, but it's close.
Right. Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry, when a gay man at the gym says, I want to see your house, that means it's time to take a steam.
Yeah.
That's all.
Got
it's
it.
A teabag.
That's
all. Sorry, Joe.
He's one of those guys. He came on our show. He's going to be on the show tonight. And he's one of those guys where you think, he's totally crazy, but I really enjoy spending time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love him.
He came up with a bit and wrote it. And it's really funny.
Oh, no.
Which makes me even. So I was yelling at the writers for not.
Then he sold the bit for twice what he.
Right. He flipped the bit. He sold it to Saturday Night Live. but his season is now over, but they're having they had a reunion show, and he was just being interviewed, and they asked Jeff how much work had been done on his face.
People are buzzing about your lips, believe it or not.
I'm a little shocked, too, by some of the comments. Some people saying that I had my entire face reconstructed, and that simply isn't true. And, you know, I was actually most offended by a comment that someone said that I was overly Botoxed. And I actually think that I have the most perfect amount of Botox.
Good way to go.
So obviously, what he did is what a lot of people do when they lie. They go, a lot of people say I've had work done, or a lot of people say I've had everything done, and that's not true.
Right.
Which suggests you've had some work done.
No, that
you do the half lie.
That was a blatant joke, though. That's like, a lot of people say I've had really good work done.
Right.
And let me just tell you, the work isn't that good.
Right. It's like Michael Jackson said he had two surgeries.
Yeah, the Botox joke was a joke at his own expense, and that's funny and all that. But I mean, obviously he's had some work done. And I don't know, but I do love the part. My favorite part about being a human is we know who's had the work done for no good reason.
Yeah.
He looks like a good looking tan gay guy, and we know he's had work done. Joel McHale is attractive. T, yes.
Yes.
My wife
handsome.
Points it out to me every time he comes on the effing TV set.
I know. Your wife and I had a long talk.
He's very attractive. So is the flipping out guy, Jeff, right?
Yeah, very good-looking man.
Both good-looking men.
Yes.
But one of them has had something done.
Yeah.
We're not looking at scars or staples.
No.
As human beings, we can look at Joel McHale and go, had nothing done. And we can look at Jeff Lewis and go, had something done. Why? I don't know, but that's why I like being a human being.
But it kind of shows you how well my work was done.
Ah.
I had
The perfect amount.
My anus bleached.
And you didn't notice that when you guys were sleeping together?
I did.
You
know what?
He just thought it was well kept.
Honest to God, I let my 12-year-old and my 6-year-old wax my back last week when I had them for the...
Let them or made them?
Oh, Danny, no, they thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
You photocopied your penis with your child.
Yeah, I know. Mine's still bigger. What?
Adam,
I was talking about pain, not... It hurts so bad. A six-year-old doesn't have the muscle of some Filipino chick that does this for
a little bit. Mattel came out with a play school waxing kit.
Plus, we had fire. It was a very good dad and son, because you're trying to warm up and his hands won't do it, so hell over candle.
It is a strange metrosexual world we're now living in, where this is considered the same as going out and having a catch. Yeah. Hey, we're going to, I'll tell you, we'll pluck daddy's eyebrows, then we'll give him a cuticle push, then we'll wax daddy's back. Who says we don't do any activities together?
When do we exfoliate daddy?
Yeah.
I only do the waxing thing. No cuticles, no facials, no nothing like that.
Adam, what would daddy needs a Brazilian.
Daddy needs to not be a furry ape when daddy's single.
Daddy, do you want a landing strip or what?
It's daddy weekend. We're going to the Mystic Tan.
Nope.
It's time to scrub out daddy's lungs again.
One on, one off. Every time. You're half right.
Adam, if you got Botox in your lips, what would happen?
Jeez,
my wildest dreams would come true.
Stop talking. You got full lips. And
thank you.
Okay.
Soft, supple.
See, we slept together and... okay. Okay.
What's next?
You know Chris Crocker. You've heard Chris Crocker.
Yes, I played some of him yesterday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So here is Chris Crocker. I think this is right before he goes nuts. This is one of his many tapes that have been on YouTube that are now everywhere. And we're featuring him tonight.
Feels like the crowd is saying, give me more, give me more, give me more.
This is what I call my Britney pool. It's years and years of memorabilia. People have doubts if she's coming back successfully. All I have to say to that is you're out of your mind. If you think that Britney Spears is not coming back with the vengeance.
Mm. Uh-huh. If you could see what the inside of this guy's room is like, that weird vertigo, because you could not get any depth perception because it is just covered in pictures of Britney.
Let me make this observation.
There's 3 or 4 clubs in Hollywood that claim the same thing, that we're just covered in Britney.
To all the crazed fans out there that are hoping against hope that their fallen celebrity make a comeback, you guys are picking the wrong path. You should hope that she packs on another 30 pounds and that the next record that drops is not a hit, which means somewhere around 2012, you have a viable shot. If, in fact, you were straight, you would have a viable shot at this girl. I mean, let's face it, at some point, the most beautiful woman in the world becomes a 50-something-year-old starlet who can't find work, and you get your real estate business off the ground, and the next thing you know, you're on top of the chick you were masturbating to in high school.
Is there a straight male Britney Spears fan?
That's a decent point. If there is, you should be hoping that.
But isn't that like in high school, like when you really wanted the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am, and then you're 45 and you're like, finally I can buy that thing, and the most beat up. You end up paying $3,000 for it, and it's beat up and it barely runs. And
well, tell that to Charlene Tilton this
you
weekend.
You still want her.
Because
right?
I will still take that car out for it and do some donuts. Do you understand?
She was pretty hot.
Charlene Tilton from Dallas, circa 1982. Yeah. If you're listening.
Very, very cute.
My little morbidly obese munchkin.
Did she have the staple surgery? Or did she get the ring?
I don't know, but the Ace Man's had a lot of love built up for her.
Right.
And our paths have finally crossed. You know, my theory about the X.
Right.
There's an X where eventually your paths will cross. Look, all you young boys that are out there that are listening right now, that are in high school or in your teens or early 20s, you love Pam Anderson. Fine. She's 40 years old. You're nothing, but you work hard. And you get that business going, and you get yourself a nice car, or you become a doctor or a plastic surgeon or whatever it is you do. You open a chain of nail salons, whatever it is, you start moving up that ladder. Now, Pam starts sliding down. Mm. She's getting a little older.
A few more
not
diseases.
Not looking as good anymore.
Right.
Maybe she gets hepatitis G. I think that's the only hepatitis she doesn't have. She adds that to her list. Couple more smackdowns from Tommy Lee. Next thing you know, too long in the tooth to work in the business anymore. She's been training on her looks.
She puts an eye out in a car accident like Sammy Davis Jr.
That's right. That's right. But doesn't replace it with a glass eye.
No, it's a patch.
Instead, puts one of those globes they have. Oh. The deaf guy sells you at the airport with the keychain thing on it. Puts one of those in its place. Now, fast forward to 2027.
Couple of hip surgeries.
And a botched breast augmentation / replacement sac surgery. You run into her at a club. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The X has crossed. That club is the X. That's where the X meets. She's sliding down the X. You're on the other side making it up.
She's working in a club sandwich place is what you're saying.
The cross of the club is at the cross of the X is at the club.
Yeah,
and
but
you
when,
get Pam Anderson.
When you get Pam Anderson, because I look at Pam Anderson now, and I'm sorry, I'm sure she's a very nice lady, but I am repulsed now. So if you take a kid that's in high school and he gets his taco stands running and he owns Del Taco one day.
Good name for teaser.
And he runs into a 55-year-old Pam Anderson, he's going to have to be on so much X to actually pull it off.
All right. I hear what you're laying down, douche man.
All right,
let's say this then, fellas. Let's just say you don't have the successful chain of taco stands, or you don't become a successful plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills.
She's ugly.
Let's just say you get a mid-level management job at some local real estate office.
Do you stay in shape?
You stay in shape, but you don't overdo it, and you're bringing down $80,000 a year.
All right.
You still got a shot. Maybe it's 5 years further along. Maybe the taco stand guy gets her 6 years from now, and you have to wait until we get to a decade. Whatever it is.
Right.
Charlene, if you're listening. You're listening, Ace Man, coming for you this
week.
But
there is a syndrome, on the other hand, where you can still be a winner. A lot of people have this syndrome where they meet a beautiful woman and they get her and immediately try and fatten her up as much as they can, make her far less attractive than the woman they married, because they can picture the gorgeous woman every time they see her.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure no one else does. It's an actual mental, I forget the name of it. But you immediately get the hot chick and go out of your way to fatten her up.
Oh, that two guys have done that over the last 5,000 years.
Say you're way below where you are, like way below. Does that mean the X crosses if you work at the morgue and they die and it's a necrophilia?
Right.
There's been a lot of X
where the X
is crossed there. Right. Now, here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to wait too long. You got to catch them at the cross. You see what I'm saying? The guy who has a successful business doesn't want to wait 30 years from now when Pam Anderson is 70.
Yeah.
He is then past her. You understand?
Timing is critical with this.
That's right. All right. Speaking of timing, we need to take a break. Joel?
All right. Just tease this little thing that you have your favorite person in the world.
Please. Do you have it, Bald Brian?
I feel like I want to slice my face open and let the maggots out.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's coming.
Makes two of us. And by the way, we will cross at some point, too.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Tyra and myself.
It's we did.
Up.
In
it's
a way.
Coming
it's
up.
Already happened by proxy.
We'll take a quick break. Joel McHale here.
My anus bleached.
We'll be back.
I'll show you it out there.
With him and more revelations next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
So what position did Adam Carolla play that Marshall would be interested in him? I'm just curious. I know you look athletic and everything, Adam, but what position would you have played, man? And what position did you play in high school over there in the valley? This is Big Dave out.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
I welcome your condescending inquiries, Big Dave.
That was my question, because I don't know if about sports that that's the way maybe fans talk to one another. Was that guy being a complete dick to you?
I realize. Let me...
Wait, answer my question, because I really don't know the answer.
Yes, he's being a dick.
Okay,
and let me explain something.
I was pop water.
I was working out with a boxing trainer guy yesterday, and I was saying I'm going to Jimmy Kimmel's son, Kevin Kimmel's football game, and I'm going to go watch it in about an hour when we're done here. And he said, oh, you know a ton about football. Have you worked with Kevin Kimmel and showed him how to play football? And I said, no. And he said, why not? And I said, because no one listens to me. Everyone laughs when I tell them whatever it is I do until they see me do it. And right. then they go, oh, you can do that. I don't know why, but it's I don't instill confidence in people. When I tell people I used to teach boxing, they laugh until they see me teach boxing. And when I tell people I used to be a builder and a contractor, they laugh until I show them my house, and so on and so forth. So I've given up trying to do that because people usually, I guess I'm a, what you call a blowhard or something, or I don't have one of those faces that looks serious enough. If I had a clef, I think it's the non-clef and the Jew-fro that throws people. I'm quite competent at many things, but I realize people don't realize that, and I'm done trying to talk them into it.
I think you underestimate either you or some people. It's hard to underestimate all people. It really is very difficult to underestimate most people. But the fact is, when I walked in the room, and after a little while, it was a natural thing to say that you used to coach boxing, you'd never roll those dice with me. I'd know in 2 minutes, in 2 seconds. It would be like me saying, I'm a carpenter. Except I was never a good boxer, but I know enough about it that some guy just can't say it.
Right.
Well, Danny, when I met you, it's the type of
dice that I taught boxing with me, because I would know.
But I knew, Adam, you had a lot of skills, but then when I met Danny, I didn't know. I thought, okay, well, this guy's an actor. I didn't realize he was a fantastic smoker.
Yeah.
He was like world class.
And people don't believe
nicotine.
You know what's funny? Because people think I'm a really good fighter because I'm undefeated and by knockout in celebrity boxing. And you know why I am? Because I'm a chain smoker.
See?
It's true, because if they're still on their feet after 60 seconds, I'm dead.
Oh, I thought they were getting a contact high from your sweat.
I move like a freight train going into their mucous membrane. You're so tired after that.
Freight train, too.
Greg Brady doesn't have anything that can possibly hurt me. But after a minute, I can't defend myself, so he'll beat me for 11 minutes in front of people. So I have 60 seconds to kill somebody. So people think I can fight, but he can fight.
Well, I choose not to because I'm a lover of myself, not a fighter, as I've said many times. But Big Dave, to answer your question, Marshall, as I've said many times, sucked when they recruited me to play football for their school. This is not the Randy Moss, Chad Pennington Marshall. Right. This is the horrible Marshall back in the early 80s. So
when did Ty Pennington play?
Always qualify that every time it comes up.
You should throw an unexpected chop block on Kimmel's son.
Outside linebacker, which is the position.
He comes off the field, you throw a chop block on him.
A guy whose first name is Big and wants to talk such a game to come down and maybe give us some of his ideas on how to play football.
See, Danny, that would mean we'd have to meet him.
No, that means I just have to beat his ass for talking to my
friend.
Well,
you do
way.
Something that rhymes with meat. All right. Joel McHale.
Ladies and gentlemen, Suzanne Summers.
All right.
I was reading something in the New York Magazine about butt fill.
I know him.
That would have to feel weird if you got your butt filled, and then when, every time you sit down, you go, it'd be like sitting on
jelly
or marbles or bowling balls or something. Anyway, better wear these jeans. They do the job.
Do they call it butt fill?
Yeah, butt fill.
Good gracious.
I guess it means they fill up your butt with something. With what? With what?
Yeah, that's scary.
Donuts.
Is she on one of those
crack
learning?
And that's HSN. She's selling things. And there's no commercial breaks, and it's just, you know, it's just them sitting there hawking jewelry, and she goes off on tangents forever, and it is great.
And
when somebody fills your butt on this home shopping network, I mean, didn't anybody whisper something in her ear?
She makes millions of dollars.
John Silver's going to come in here and yell at you just for playing that clip of her selling jewelry.
Yeah, probably.
All right, what do you got next?
All right. On Rock of Chlamydia, Love, with Bret Michaels, he might have found true love after going to Vegas with a few of the women.
Brandy.
Brandy, when we were in the hotel room that night after my show, and I was holding your head up from the toilet, you looked me right in the eyes and you said, I love you and I want to make this work. And it really made me believe in what you were saying.
That's awesome.
It is. That show is, it really has taken a turn for the surreal.
It really has. I don't even, there's no, it's very, it, no up or down. Or
chicks were vomiting all over the place. They got loaded. They, he got, one of them, the stripper, got the tattoo.
Now, this is one of you and your wife's shows still,
yes,
right?
Oh, yes. Seen every second of it.
It's incredible.
As a matter of fact, it runs, they do this really weird thing where they run the new episode Sunday morning at like 9 a.m.
Oh, I didn't know that.
For all the Christians that are getting ready for church.
Yeah.
And then they run it that night. You think it's 10 o'clock Sunday nights. It's 9 a.m. Sunday mornings, and it's not a rerun. It's that episode. I don't know what the strategy is, but it works out perfectly for me.
Maybe if
because
they premiere it early, they get a better number for their premiere.
I always thought, though, as far as content went, and evidently there's no more rules anymore in television.
Only in radio.
Only in radio. Only in radio. As far as content went, 9 a.m. Sunday effing morning, you weren't supposed to show strippers vomiting on a guy's wearing eyeliner in one of those creepy bent cowboy hats. And I don't know who decided the cowboy hat with the extra starch in it was a good look. It may have been a decent look in 1987.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know if it was ever a good look.
That was my year, man.
But Brett Michaels is, he'll be goddamn if he's going to give up that cowboy hat with the starch.
Oh, and he has never, that bandana must,
If it could talk, though.
Oh, the stories.
Yeah, it's a fantastic show.
If my bandana could talk. It, that's their new reality show, you know.
It's as good as Planet Earth.
He had wonderful. A night of passion with, I think, a couple of the gals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you were somehow in Flavor of Love. It seemed creepy and weird. On this, it's kind of like, oh, well, I guess that's what he's supposed to do, and he's constantly talking about it. So,
is he looking for real, true love, or is this just a reality show with lots of sex in it?
Yeah, it's, you know, he claims that.
Well, Scott Baio set the bar high.
Is that he'll have this really intense conversation with someone wearing, who's topless, about their kids. The woman will be like, well, I have a daughter too. Really? And they'll go into, and then 2 minutes later, his tongue is so far down her throat in the jacuzzi.
It's also funny when he talks to the ladies, because he's like, if you're going to be with a rock and roll star, you got to be prepared for life on the road. You mean you playing at Pat's River Bottom in Toluca Lake this weekend at noon?
You have to be hardcore at the Bakersfield County Fair.
If things don't go right, I can walk home to Glendale, right?
He's just saying, really, I'm just getting you ready for your chemical romance.
That's right.
When you get on the tour bus, the metro?
You better be prepared for life on the road. You mean staring at the zipper that's mounted to the back of a truck at the L.A. County Fair? That life on the road? What year does he think it is? Like, he's talking to these chicks like he's playing stadiums in 1986. All right.
He's great.
But by the way, I just not in his defense or anything, because I don't care, but he saved his money and invested wisely. Brett's quite wealthy.
All right.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, so it's not like he's doing this just for the dough. It's kind of worse.
That will almost cover the penicillin.
He's doing it just to do it, which kind of makes it worse. When I do disgusting things on television, I'm doing it for the union scale and the free lunch. This guy's rich and just wants to have people see him do that.
Yeah. Are you going to be prepared to go with me when we go on the road to the Deli Smoker in Studio City and I play an acoustic set in front of 9 people?
Brett, I will be right there in the front row, just as long as you let me have a backstage pass that I wear around my neck and everything.
And then what about on the way home from the road where we stop at Art's Deli?
Oh, that sounds
and
great.
And I sing a little a cappella for the cook. Huh?
Too much time.
You're going to prepare for the fast-paced life of hopping in the rental van and driving up and down Ventura Boulevard?
I will call ahead and get a reservation.
It's a fast-paced life. Sometimes we don't. We leave the house at 2 in the afternoon, and we're not home until after the streetlights come on.
Brad, I can't do it. I have a family.
Non-stop party. Oh,
next God. One. All right.
All right, what else we got?
All right, listen to this just battle of intelligence and wit. It is like, Abraham Lincoln and who did he run against?
Frederick Douglass.
Yes. I mean, it is incredible. This is on Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. I'd have handed 8 out of the 10 evictions so far, you stupid.
Yeah, and all of them aren't going to vote you because your attitude is awful.
You ain't going to make.
Either way, I kicked ass.
You overblown ego.
Ooh.
Why aren't you wearing your crown, bitch?
I'll be wearing it next week.
You better go stay up in your HOH and sit there and rethink things.
Better get your ass on the treadmill. You're gonna need it.
I feel like my mind is like a samurai sword.
I would just love to get together executives from the 50s who ran TV stations who are coming up with, you know, Show of Shows or Queen for a Day or like the Dumont Network brings you America Talent Night. You know, a bunch of people spinning plates and stuff, and then go, hit, this is the future. This is where we are. Bunch of guys in wife beaters calling each other bitch and yelling, bring it. They would just be what? They'd be smoking their cigarettes with their thin ties going, what?
No, seriously. We're just going to put them in a house and they're going to whisper it to each other all day long. And they're going to yell at each other. They're going
to
hate each other.
What happened to our society? They would probably assume that the outside world was just a bunch of people urinating and punching each other while they're urinating in public. All right, Joel McHale is here. Joel.
You want the last one?
No. Okay. I want you to sit tight.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind. Now, we had our Tyra Tees, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's hear that again, because here's the deal. One of my favorite guys, John Stossel.
Yes.
Quietly, one of the best looking men in the news.
One of the better heads of hair.
Yeah.
And a great mustache. He is going to be on the show in a couple of minutes, but Joel, hang out. You can say something. You can say hi to John, and then we'll hear the rest of the clips. But give us the tease, the Tyra tease, please.
I feel like I want to slice my face open and let the maggots out.
She's on heroin.
Explore that, as well as speaking to one of my heroes, John Stossel from 2020, next on The Adam Carolla Show.
This is The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
And now, from ABC News in New York, John Stossel.
2020's John Stossel is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Give me a break. John Stossel, everybody.
I love this guy.
One of my favorites. John?
Give you a break.
Okay. Give me a break.
Great to speak to you.
You too.
Tonight on ABC's, I was going to say 2020, but is it?
It is 2020. I just eat the whole show tonight for my healthcare.
Ah, now what will we be talking about, or what will you be talking about tonight?
Healthcare and the plan of Michael Moore and many others to have government make it better.
Oh, well, I can tell by your sing-songy tone you're no fan.
You don't like socialized medicine?
It feels good. We won't have to worry, and it's free, and it sounds good. But what I've learned in years of consumer reporting is that a competitive for-profit market, gross as that often is, does everything better and eventually makes care better and cheaper.
And can I tell you, I'm not positive of his feelings on socialized medicine, but I can tell you right now he hates Michael Moore. I can tell you right now, hates him.
I hate socialized medicine much more than I hate Michael Moore.
Really?
Michael Moore was very nice to come in and talk to me and fight with me.
I saw you take two good hits to the head and still get back up, man. You could beat his ass. You don't have to be nice.
I will say this. Everyone with a mustache hates Michael Moore. Close your eyes and try to find me one guy with a mustache who's not being ironic, but a serious mustache who's a big fan of Michael Moore.
Michael Moore, at least, is willing to come and defend his belief in government control, and good for him. A lot of the totalitarian left doesn't want to talk to
him. Well, what about his point in the movie that our emergency services are controlled by the government, and that works well?
Well, Teresa, emergency services and going to war and fire departments generally are controlled by the government, and they seem to work well, but we don't know what we might have had if there were competition. It's like the VA hospital. They say it's improved, it's working well, but the vets don't know that they don't get 80% of the drugs that are available.
I don't want a copay if my house is on fire.
Yeah, but
wouldn't it be great if there was competing fire stations that showed up at your house?
And the fire department works well.
For example, there are some privatized fire departments, and when they don't do the job well, they get fired. Government never gets fired. In Pinellas County, Florida, they privatized the emergency services, and they found they were much cheaper, saved taxpayer money. They innovated using computers. They figured out, it saves money having the trucks stay at McDonald's rather than in our expensive garage, and they were closer to the people who needed help, and the guys got to eat French fries.
Well, John Stossel, this is how I always think of it. Think about all the businesses that have, and I call them businesses, or let's just say services that have huge windows. You know, the one where the guy says, we'll have a guy out between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Those are the monopolies. That's the cable company, although they've had to get it together because of satellite. They've changed their tune completely because of satellite. They're now kissing ass where they used to be snobs.
Right.
You'll take what you get and you'll love it, and we'll have a guy out and we'll give you a 12-hour window. Gas company, electric company. Now, open the phone book and go look under carpet cleaning. There's 35 pages of carpet cleaning, and there's no window. There's no guy that says, oh, yeah, we'll clean your carpets. We'll have a guy out there between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. You go, F you, I'm calling the next company, and he knows it. And thus, no window. Yeah. Just think about the windows. That's what the government is. That's what the electric company is. That's what the gas company is. Always huge windows. Whenever there's a monopoly, you get lazy. And I think that's what John is talking about.
And the flip side, we don't think about. We take the benefits of capitalism, competition for granted. Think about, I'd go to a foreign country, give a total stranger a piece of plastic, and he'll rent me a car for a week. He doesn't even speak my language. And when I get home, Visa will have the accounting to the penny. The government can't even count the votes accurately.
Mm-hmm.
But we take it for granted that the free market performs miracles like that.
John Stossel, can I ask you this question? It sounds loaded, but... I have my own answer I'll provide after yours.
You are slightly loaded right now, though.
Do you believe that health care is a right?
No.
I agree. I think it's like anything else. We start off with this assumption that it's a right. I don't think it's a right.
To live life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Now, I think everybody ought to get it, and I give my own money to help people get it who can't afford it, and drug companies are giving away $9 billion in drugs to people who are poor, so we ought to help people get it, but a right, that means you have a claim on everybody else's property, you can take stuff from them so you get health care, and you want unlimited health care. It's not
going to
work.
Listen, I agree. And people go, well, why, how come just because you're poor, then you deserve a riskier whatever, whatever? And it's like, yeah, you drive a crappy car that doesn't have a side impact curtain, and you live in a neighborhood that's more dangerous. There's all sorts of things you do because you don't earn a good living that make your lifestyle more dangerous than someone who makes more money. This is just another one. You get better service. You can go down to County USC and you can wait in line if you don't have any money, or if you have money, you can go to Cedars and get the best and the brightest. That's the way it works.
And when you have a free market, eventually competition drives those prices down, so it helps even the poor. I mean, poor people have access to music and movies now that were once available only to kings and queens.
Mm.
Yeah, but you can't possibly think that our healthcare system isn't broken.
I was listening to the harpsichord this morning, thinking to myself.
John Stossel. Sorry.
Our journalist would like to ask you a question.
You can't possibly think a question.
Well, John, have you ever thought about running for office? I mean, obviously a lot of this sort of seems like politics.
I have no social skills for that.
You can't possibly think you don't have social skills.
You're on TV.
You're a delight.
On TV, I have a script. I've worked hard on it. I can pull it off.
No, but can I?
I couldn't do what the politics.
He hasn't let go of the mustache. That's true.
Is he electable with the mustache?
I don't think so.
If you shaved half of it off, I would bet that you could get half this country to vote for you just on a goof.
What do you think?
I don't think so.
John, let's try it.
It happens in high school all the time where they elect some freaky kid on a goof.
We elected Richard Kim in high school. He couldn't even speak English. We just did it as a goof. You could be the Richard Kim of my generation.
Come on, Teresa. What was the you can't possibly think question?
Well, I would ask you, do you think things are working well as they are now with our healthcare system? What would you change?
I'd change plenty. Perfect isn't one of the choices, and being sick is awful. But for most people, it's working pretty well. We're getting access.
Are you kidding? Really?
We're getting access to very new, expensive miracle treatments, drugs that cost a fortune.
Rich people.
Well, but hold on, Miss Lefty from San Fran with the black skin.
Yeah, let's let Magnum P.I. talk.
But here's the question I posed some weeks ago when I was making John's argument, which is we always do this thing, what about these people and they can't afford? Who do you know know or who have you seen or what stories have you heard where people don't get health care?
I've not gotten health care when I was uninsured a few years ago. I had to go to Planned Parenthood.
I didn't either, but
it was a flesh eating
virus. You went to Planned Parenthood.
I got terrible care.
I went to County USC. I went to a free clinic in Santa Monica. Little yeasty on the peccaroo, something that John is going to cover next week.
And if you're truly poor, you get free care under Medicaid.
That's excellent care.
My girlfriend is a school teacher and doesn't make enough money to get medical insurance. She had to go to an ER in some bizarre part of the
barrio.
It's
not nearly as good as one of the Owens brothers, for instance.
Yes.
Let's face it. It's not as good, but neither is the car you drive or the house you live in.
I understand. And Stossel's charming, and I want to buy into the capitalism thing. And then I just imagine a mother with a sick baby, and she can't afford care, and us saying, well, too bad.
Well, stop crapping out the kids. I would go back that far, by the way.
But sometimes people fall into hard times.
John, I don't want to say too bad to them, and I won't. But health insurance isn't the answer either, because when you have third parties paying for things, you don't get what you want. Doctors don't use email. They don't even use the telephone because our reimbursement system is so screwed up. So, no, tonight we're talking about some kinks in our system, too.
All right. Well, we'll be watching. Yes, I'm sorry, Joel McHale.
No, I was going to say, I had this friend who cut her hand horribly. She wasn't a friend. She was a prostitute. No, but I worked with her at a deli.
Wow.
I worked with her at a deli. She was she had no insurance. She cut her hand horribly. It took her 12 hours to get her hand sewed up. And by then, a horrible infection had set in. And this is here in L.A., and she almost lost her hand.
Right. That's one of the kinks that John Stossel is going to be addressing.
Right.
It's terrible when that happens, but you think it's going to be better under government care?
I agree. And listen, I'm biased because I grew up with a bunch of people who didn't feel like working but only wanted to complain about why they have better health care systems in Canada. And at 9, I was doing the math thinking, you spazzes don't pay anything.
Right.
So how's this going to work? Everyone just gets health care. Nobody pays in. Who's paying for the hospital?
Right,
people do that. Like, people have that thing where it's like, well, why should they be charging so much? Well, what do you think a CAT scan or a functional MRI machine costs? $80, $90? What do you think those hospitals cost? What do you think it costs to do the drug testing? You guys,
I don't answer to two of those.
Everyone's railing against the man. Hey, AIDS is not a death sentence anymore. I know you guys never stop railing against the drug companies, but you're alive now because of the drug companies.
Right.
How about instead of complaining about how much the pill that saves your effing life costs, you kiss their ass for a second?
Yeah.
I don't care if they make money. Make a ton of money. Cure cancer.
Right.
Make a ton of money. Cure AIDS. And the second they don't make a ton of money, guess who's not working so hard on curing AIDS?
You wait till you have to slip the morning after pill in some chick's coffee, and you're going to give your money to Pfizer. I just say that?
I wholeheartedly
people
agree.
People think that the government invented the AIDS drugs, but they didn't. It was those greedy profit-seeking companies.
Right. They got greedy, and now AIDS went from a death sentence
greed
to...
Greed is good. Welcome back to the 80s.
A life sentence. Yes, thank you, John Stossel. We'll be watching tonight. Whose body is it anyway? Sick in America, ABC tonight, 10 p.m.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
For having dangerously close to a sense of humor.
Sarcastic and ironic.
He's lovable.
When you're complimenting him.
It's not Stossel.
Thank you.
Stossel, he's condescending.
Okay, great interview.
He reminds you.
Thanks for agreeing with some of my great points.
He's like one of your mom's friends when you're growing up, the one with the super short haircut who looked at the report card and wasn't impressed.
Freak out!
Stossel is, not the most charismatic guy, but I'll tell you, is his black friend who flies a helicopter.
My name is Tom.
Yes, you know, I like a short friend that never buns a shirt.
How about Rick
bar?
Owns a restaurant?
He's cool.
Great. Yeah. And that rich English guy he lives with?
That was a 328.
Sorry, the guy's uptight. Yeah, the guy who owns that manor over there. All right. Now we need to take a break. Joel McHale's here. My dad's back on the phone.
Oh, he must have loved that. That was a real discussion.
Dad.
Yeah.
Dad, you've called
I've
been on the radio for 13 years. You've never called once, yet you've called twice in one day.
Broke his hip.
Do I have a 30 seconds?
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, I was on a cell phone in a car in a traffic situation, and I was really Yeah, okay. Anyway, I got home. I thought one of the things I would like you to know, first of all, somebody asked me what this topic was. And the topic is spirituality. The most misunderstood word in the English language.
This is electric. The topic of the thing we were talking about 2.5 hours ago?
Yes, I mean, but I wanted to add the thing that I'm also doing a jazz retrospective that night. I'm doing Miles Davis. I'm doing some of his original charts with a New York rhythm section.
Dad, can I say something quickly? Your office is 8 foot by 8 foot.
Yeah.
It holds 11 folding chairs. I'm going to be in one of them. My stepmother, Lynn, will be in another.
How should I know?
How many people do you want to come to this, and are you planning on enlarging the venue?
No, there are going to be 20 seats, and it's an invitation, so there'll be approximately 20 people there.
Right. But what I'm asking to you is the same question I posed in the 7 o'clock hour, which is, why are you plugging a gig that you don't want people to come to? Danny's going to be down at the Hofbrauhaus for Oktoberfest coming up this Saturday. Mm-hmm. He wants people to go to that.
As I said, you brought it up, Mr. Carolla, tonight. I will be at the Oktoberfest in Old World Village in Huntington Beach. That's tonight, Old World Village in Huntington Beach, and I have thousands of chairs.
Right. Go there, hoist a knockwurst, and toast Danny.
And I'm bringing hookers and beer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's hookers and beer at my dad's election. Right. Absolutely. He'll do a keg stand.
It's not so much that I'm trying to get more people there. Right. I'm just trying to put it out. And remind you, but the part of that is this Miles Davis part. This is a part that most people don't know.
Dad, do you have the trumpet with you?
Now?
Yeah, now.
Yeah.
Get the trumpet out.
Yeah. Hey, Adam.
Oil it up.
Can you put the first part of the call on a tape for me? I need something else to put my 2.5-year-old to sleep.
That's Adam's dad.
Only I insult my father on the radio. How dare you?
Yeah, hello?
I'm sorry.
Hey, Dad, you're lucky he was getting his flugelhorn.
No, that's why I got to get in there.
Hey, Dad.
What?
Hang on a second.
You want me to play?
Yes. No, I want you to bang it against the phone.
I mean,
Dad, warm up your lip.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna take a commercial break. All right.
Okay.
You got the flugelhorn out?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm getting to it now.
All right. Come up with a Miles Davis song.
Okay.
All right. Pre-apologize to the neighbors, and when we come back, you'll be playing it on the show. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Sorry, Mr. Carolla.
Cool.
It's inappropriate.
Dad, I've been on the air in L.A. for 13 years. My dad decides.
It's gotten into him.
It's time for him to blow his horn on
air. Yeah.
Joel McHale is in studio. We'll take a quick break. We got my dad playing the flugelhorn and more clips from The Soup next.
All right.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser, where we're wishing happy birthday to Adam's dad, Jim. And he's going to play a little trumpet for us right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, to be fair, my dad's wishing a happy birthday to himself.
Right.
I thought his birthday was yesterday. I was going to call him after the show.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Dad, you got the flugelhorn there?
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to play for us? Miles Davis?
One of his most famous is called Four.
Mm-hmm.
One of his most famous, most creative jazz trumpet player that ever lived.
From what album is Four?
He's on three or four different things. You know, I don't know.
Dad,
sorry.
True or false?
You like Huey Lewis in the news?
You used to rent records from the North Hollywood Library.
Right.
How old were you when you did that?
I'd say in my 30s.
Late 30s?
Yeah.
Early 40s?
Yeah.
Okay. Just asking.
Okay. Well, you want me to start?
Yes. But listen, Dad, you can't play the whole song.
No. Okay. I'll just play the most exciting part.
Play the most exciting part for about 40 seconds, all right?
40 seconds.
All right, Dad. Here we go.
Here we go. Let's see if I can get this baby. Okay. Okay.
One. Two,
one, two, three. Wow. Hold on, Molly's howling. Yeah, Dad's playing.
This sounds great.
Wow. Oh, I wasn't expecting this.
No, he sounds nuts, but he can play.
Every song. Every song.
His poor neighbors next door. It's 9:15.
My dad actually played the horn better than Miles Davis, but Miles Davis had him in the fathering department. Just nipped him out. I don't know why we're laughing. We have no idea how Miles Davis was as a dad, but I
think it was horrible.
Okay. I assume bad. Yeah. Hey, Dad, that sounded great.
Yeah, that was,
great.
Nice.
Do you feel the spirit of Miles Davis when you play that horn?
What, pardon me?
Did you ever feel, you were talking about spirituality, do you ever feel the spirit of Miles Davis when you play that horn?
Yeah.
Do you just, like, get up there and think how much you hate white people?
he had some bad things. That
yeah, he did.
He was that way, but he was a wonderful trumpet player with a style that was just so unique.
Dad,
well,
you,
Hitler played a mean tambourine, too. Didn't make him a sweetheart.
You learned to play trumpet where?
With John DeBarbera in South Philadelphia, 1939, 40.
In trade school, so I understand?
Then I went to trade school, Bach Vocational Trade School.
And played the trumpet?
Yes.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
I guess they had you fill out some sort of test, sized you up, and handed you a trumpet?
Yeah. Something like
school?
That. An old cornet. In those days, things were not much money around where I was.
Maybe a welder.
I just started from there. And
I always found it weird that you played the trumpet in trade schools if it was a viable trade.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the meantime, they send me the plastic shop where Mr. Bertram.
Oh, really? It's a wood shop. Come on, Pop.
Yeah. And they thought, the music thing wasn't important, but they added it. But the main thing was that you learn a trade. We learned to be a tailor and a wood shop, and I studied music.
All right. That was back in the trade school, and it's paid dividends ever since.
Right.
He's made close to $18 playing the trumpet over the last 60 years.
Right.
All right. Hey, Dad, happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
God love you. We'll see you on
Thursday the 20th.
I will be there, and I will bring my own folding chair. Thanks, Pops. Happy birthday.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
What did
you get him, Adam, for his birthday?
Oh, well, that's the beauty of my family is I don't have to get him anything.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, because you're constantly getting them something.
We had an unspoken agreement very early on. Very early. All right.
My mom is rather mad at me right now. I just got an email from her that I didn't stop by and see her before she left on her trip that I paid for on a ship to Europe.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, he's not getting one of those. Paul Bryan, yes.
I found some details on Miles Davis as a father. His son wrote a tell-all book about his swings between sobriety and prodigious drug use, his destructive selfishness, his obsession with young women, and his ever-present personal demons.
But he could play the trumpet.
Daughter's book.
Benign neglect beats that.
Yeah. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Teresa with the news next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
A camera captured pop singer Madonna in Israel as she celebrated Rosh Hashanah. Madonna's spending the Jewish High Holy Days at the Kabbalah Center in Tel Aviv. She reportedly brought along famous friends, actors Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, along with designer Donna Karan. Madonna has also taken the Hebrew name Esther.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Teresa has her news. Joel McHale from E's the Soup on tonight at 10 o'clock is going to hang in with us. T?
Yes.
The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
There is an active robbery investigation underway right now in Las Vegas having to do with O.J. Simpson. We talked about it earlier. There is some very intriguing new information that TMZ is posting. Sources are saying that O.J. Simpson and five other guys barged into a hotel room last night at the famous, world-famous Palace Station Casino and broke into a room of a memorabilia dealer. This dealer...
Murdered him?
No. But apparently, weird. This guy had secured various items once owned by O.J. Simpson, including the suit O.J. wore the day he was acquitted. Mm-hmm. So the way the story is shaping up, the man whose room he broke into, the memorabilia dealer, is saying that he had arranged some meeting with somebody who potentially wanted to buy some of this memorabilia. He felt uneasy about it, but the meeting was to take place in his hotel room, and instead of it being somebody who wanted to buy the stuff, it was five guys and OJ, and the guy is claiming there were guns drawn and that the group stole every piece of memorabilia in the room, including items signed by Joe Montana. I guess he had other stuff besides OJ stuff. They also took a case.
Joe Montana signed his suit.
Right, that would have been weird. They also took a case of never released leather editions of Simpson's book, I Want to Tell You. So the guy said he was uneasy about the meeting in the first place.
It was like OJ arranged
his
a
crew.
Sting.
His right.
crew had
right.
a sting operation to get his memorabilia back.
That is how it's looking, although, as I mentioned earlier, OJ has not been arrested. He has been interviewed by the Las Vegas Police Department, and there is an investigation underway.
Well,
now, this guy could just be claiming this, and it didn't happen, but that's what he's saying.
Well, it seems to me the thing about Vegas and casinos is there's a camera almost everywhere, so we'll see some footage of OJ heading
right.
toward the elevator and coming out of the elevator and whatever if this happens
well,
shortly,
he was
right?
in the hotel, as confirmed by the hotel.
If it's true, that is the worst thing he has ever done.
Going into the hotel? Or, oh, I see.
I see.
Yeah, no, yeah. Joel, he... you know what? We'll talk off the
okay.
air.
Confusing. Well, this will be interesting. I mean, you would think if he was going to arrange a sting, he himself wouldn't attend. Since
yeah.
he's pretty recognizable.
It would be nice if the judge had some sense of justice, and he was like, breaking and entering, theft. 2,000 years.
Death sentence.
Okay, well, there's still fallout from the VMAs. Everyone's talking about Britney Spears, and of course, the fight that broke out between Kid Rock and Motley Crue frontman, former Motley Crue frontman, Tommy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, Kid
Drummer.
Rock... Drummer, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the frontman?
Vince Neil.
Vince Neil, okay. Now, Kid Rock is finally discussing.
You know
what
I love about me?
What? That you know that?
Well, 20 minutes ago, we wanted to know who ran against Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I, some kind of Atlas? But now I get disgusted. Come on, Vince Neil.
And the fact that you
Jesus.
Said, and the fact that you just said Atlas.
Yeah.
As opposed
really.
To encyclopedia.
Encyclopedia.
I'm not going to pull out a map to find that
I
out.
I prove I'm stupid when I give examples of how stupid I am.
I just look at an Atlas and I shrug. I hope the five people got that
yes.
cared.
Yes.
Ayn Rand.
The globe.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. So.
But if you stand on the Atlas, that makes
short.
You feel tall.
I stand on two Atlas. I'm still short, dude.
Right. Kid Rock is saying that this fight was over their shared lady friend, Pamela Anderson.
Shared Valtrex.
Mm-hmm. And he's saying that divorcing her was the best thing he ever did. Who said that he should divorce Pamela Anderson? Here's his answer.
I don't know if you watch Entourage, that Kevin Conley
that is not the
and
right
Adrian.
No, it's great.
Here's his answer.
Mom, dad, sisters, best friends, school teachers, I mean, you name it. I mean, people that were close to her came up to me and told me that. It was like, God, am I actually go, wow, you are an idiot.
You know what? I'm going to get my pterodactyl fired up.
Yeah. Oh, wait. You got to hear just a little bit. He sings a cappella chorus of his song.
I've heard enough.
Wait,
but go ahead.
If you get the pterodactyl, you should have some sort of rubber latex that goes around the talons.
Oh, you know, so he doesn't.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Doesn't
want
heps. Right. Did you say he had heps A through C?
She has G. That's the only one. Okay, element she doesn't have.
They're
sorry.
Doing
yes.
that cover song of Hip to Be Square where it's not hip to have hep. Hugh
right.
Lewis's new. The,
right.
The
please
those
don't
covered.
Sing it.
Okay, here it comes.
Oh, no.
No, I won't
no?
no, you know, my
I can only rap.
My feeling with Pam Anderson and what I'm going to explain to her shortly before I summon my pterodactyl to drop her into the volcano is, we've had enough. Is this enough? And
yes.
she'll go, what specific incident is going to get me
right.
dropped in a volcano? I'll go, sweetie, it's not one thing.
It's an accumulation.
It's like one of those bad marriages
yeah.
where it's like, come on, baby, I never cheated on you. I never
right.
beat you. It's like, it's the totality
right.
of
yeah.
the relationship. I've had an impacted ass full of her. I'm done.
I thought you were going to say Terry should pick up Kid Rock.
he is going shortly thereafter for Kid Rock, and Tommy's on what we like to call the bubble. He's such a sweet guy that I'm going to feel bad dropping him into a volcano.
I'm glad you said that, because this may either save Kid Rock or this may mean surefire volcano for Kid Rock. Here he is, a cappella, singing some of his new song called Half Your Age, which
the news.
Not so subtly disses Pamela Anderson.
I found someone new who treats me better. She don't bitch about things we ain't got. When I sing this tune, it don't upset her. She's a half your age, twice as hot.
Yeah. Sorry. We got a little someone named Mac Davis who fills whatever void will be left behind. That's right.
I love Mac Davis.
Very timely reference to
Motley Crue
singer from the 70s. Yeah, I'm getting Terry fired up. He's on top of the Arco Tower right now, posing as a gargoyle. He's going to swoop down. He does it under cover of darkness normally.
Wow.
And that'll be the last we hear of Pam Anderson.
I have an excellent story about, it's definitely not a Jew, but it's a Jew. That's for when we come back.
All right, we'll take a quick break, back with the rest of the news. I'm intrigued, T. Definitely not a Jew, but a Jew.
Yeah.
And we got, by the way, we still have a Tyra clip.
Oh, we got a Tyra clip to play.
You.
So much more to go. Joel McHale's here from The Soup. News, a Tyra clip, all that next.
Can't get enough of Adam, Danny, and Teresa? Well, you're in luck. Here's Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on the Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla, king of the gays.
Co-host Teresa Strasser, a ride to light on while you're out, seems like a mannequin here.
With Bonaducci's nails on a chalkboard voice, his employment in radio has always been something of a mystery to me.
Mounting another guy from the rear doesn't make you gay.
I'm not gay. My boyfriend is.
Oh, have you seen those big double D cans on my daughter?
Daddy, you said you weren't gonna...
I'm a short guy with a raspy voice and red hair.
Sexy gunplay.
I love the show!
Bald Brian's B-sides, the ones that didn't make it at the end of the show. All right, Joel McHale here from The Soup. Best show on any network. 10 o'clock tonight on
E!
Before we get back to the news and Teresa Strasser, we have an outstanding clip from one Tyra Banks. Yes, Joel?
Yeah, Tyra is so great. Because she's a huge supermodel, but she can relate to us in so many ways. For example,
I get these like big zits, and they're like so deep where it feels alive. It feels like there's like little maggots crawling inside my face. I feel like I want to slice my face open and let the maggots out. You know what I'm talking about. And like, sometimes I try to squeeze them, and like the pus doesn't go out; it goes like back in. Yeah.
It'd be awesome if she sewed her mouth shut instead of sliced her face open and the words went back in instead of the pus.
That you just described a wonderful fantasy.
Yes.
$15 million a year she makes about now.
Right. Well, sure. For you'd sure. get paid that, too, if you That's spent cool. an hour retiring your angel wings every other show.
Kiss my fat ass.
Greatest fear, dolphins.
She's moving to New York.
She's already done that.
Not far enough away, I say.
Yeah.
I saw her show where she walked down the street and talked to the real people about what they thought about her moving to New York. It was a great self-congratulatory romp. All right, T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl, the rest of it.
All right. I told you I had a definitely not a Jew, but it's a Jew.
Wow.
I want to say this quickly. I have a problem with Terry the Pterodactyl.
What?
His range.
Oh, how far can he go?
He can get to age about 1,800 miles. He can get to, we're working on Oprah, but he says with the weight situation,
it's impossible
with the range, but he can't make it to the East Coast to get Tyra now.
Okay.
I'll keep you posted. We're going to keep
like
working on it.
That's like the Doolittle raid over Tokyo.
We're gonna get some
one-way trip.
We'll get some drop tanks on him and launch him from an aircraft carrier. Yeah.
That explains why he hasn't gotten Bin Laden or any really bad people.
That's right. Although he would still be below.
Tyra
on the list, yes.
Okay, 81-year-old Marvin Marks of Dallas, Texas, went to synagogue with his family for Rosh Hashanah services on Wednesday night. As a lot of Jews did. I missed it this year. Marvin, 81, sitting at temple, brought his gun. During one part of the service where the congregation was supposed to stand up, Marvin did, but his gun fell. And it fired.
Oh.
Three of his fellow Jews were hit with bullets.
including
it went through three people,
including his 42-year-old daughter who took one to the foot.
Wow.
No one was killed, but Marvin's daughter was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries, and the two other people just had minor scrapes. He was licensed to carry the gun.
Let me tell you why.
Two other people were scraped by the bullets?
It's not
minor injuries.
The similarities right there. Marvin shot his own kids but wasn't gay. That's what I'm going to go with on this. Isn't Marvin gay's dad that shot him at the barbecue?
That wasn't an accident, though, I believe.
But I mean, shooting your kids at synagogue and hitting three people? That's pretty cool.
I must say, as far as the Jews go, I oftentimes say, you know, definitely not a Jew, but I rarely tell you about the rare exception.
Right.
Which is the Israeli commando Jew.
Right.
I'm talking about the domesticated North American Jew.
Yeah.
Docile. Housebroken and P-Whip.
They're
in the standard book of American
Jews. Forget
about
the crazy Israeli commando Jew.
The short guys
with the huge forearms covered with hair.
Yeah.
He may be one of the Israeli non-North American, non-domesticated variety of Jews. I'll check my handbook, see if I can identify. Yeah,
but the Mossad are the most badass.
That's not even a secret service.
Yeah, but are they careless like that? When they stand up to lose a gun like that, it goes off?
He may be a weird crossbred.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Maybe one of the Mossad got over the fence and raped one of the domesticated Jews, and this is what we ended up with.
And that was out of Texas, right?
So you're calling it a hybrid Texan, Ashkenazi-Israeli.
Yeah. So they make mules.
So he can't breed after this.
He's a gelding.
Okay. Now, I will close with this piece of information from MSNBC. 5 million is the new 1 million. According to financial experts, 1 million is no longer enough to be considered wealthy. The new benchmark for the rich is 5 million.
Mm.
Guess who was rich just a month ago? You had five?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You had 5 million bucks?
Yeah. Maybe six.
And you wear jeans like that?
Those jeans are about $600.
Really?
And better still, they were free.
I think they'd pay you more to wear those. It's an old Benny Hill joke.
Yeah, but it's still a good one.
All right. So
I hear when you slap me on the top of the head when you say it.
6 million bucks, liquid or worth of?
Oh, no.
Worth of stuff.
Full everything I've got in the world is
counting the
assets.
Bedazzlers.
Yeah.
Right.
And the bedazzler supplies.
And the guitar signed by 80s bands.
I'll make it just so simple for you. We put our life savings down. That house that's listed for $4.5 million.
Right.
You know my mortgage is? $3,800 a month. I put all my money in the world down on that house.
Right, so that's where the money is.
$800,000. So on a well over $4 million house.
Okay, so if you
and
move,
I had $2 million cash.
All right,
so that's coming pretty close to six, right?
That's good. So you're still
so
well,
Gretchen,
you were
close.
Gretchen has three, and now I have three.
How much are iron lungs?
Oh,
I don't know, dude, because I keep the suicide kit right next to my bed.
Joel, he has bedazzled his iron lungs. I don't know if you realize that.
It sparkles.
Joel's bitter because he's on E.
Yes.
He's the best thing on E.
He gets paid with
I moved to Burma, I would be one of the richest.
When you go to a petting zoo and you put that change in that little machine and puts the kibble on your hair, that's what they pay him with, and they throw it at him.
He's worth all his kibble.
Ryan,
we need to take a break. Eat, big man, he yells as he throws the kibble.
I had. My anus bleached.
We'll take a quick break. More revelations like that from Joel McHale next. So many people to thank. First off, my pops.
Yeah.
76 years slow. I mean young.
Oh, yeah.
And still playing that flugelhorn. Happy birthday to you, pops.
Happy birthday.
Wayne Root, sports handicapper extraordinaire. 800-946-ROOT. Wolfgang Puck. He is the American dream, everyone. American Wine and Food Festival. AWFF.org for tickets. I'll be there. Dave Attell, Irvine Improv tonight. That's Dave. Sounding like Scooby-Doo.
Starting an engine in his throat.
Who says smoking affects you? Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. Joel McHale.
My anus bleached.
Oh. Quiet, Joel. Let me get to this. Joel McHale. The Soup tonight. 10 o'clock on E! John Stossel, whose body is it anyway? Sick in America tonight, 10 p.m. ABC. Teresa Strasser, TMZ, and our old, and I should say, own Bald Brian. The Film Vault. It's a film show.
Neat.
It's on free 2HD-97.1 Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Moonlighting. Why don't you go to AdamCarolla.com and you can find out where to find Bald Brian. Also, this correction, Bonaducci did win. We went over the tape from Will Angie Eat It, and it turns out the douche man won. Not only is he owed $20 from moi, but he's owed an apology, which he'll not get. Instead, he'll get a choke on that, you bastard.
Thank you very much.
As we finish the show, and you like schnitzel, so does the douche man. You want to hoist a stein, go see him at Oktoberfest at Old World Village in Huntington Beach. That's Old World Village, that's Huntington right, Beach, you. Oktoberfest. Danny Bonaducci tonight.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, it was yesterday Amy decided we should start seeing other people. So come on out.
Watch, see Danny seeing other people tonight at the Old World Village in Huntington Beach. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Yeah, hello? You want me to play? Oh, great. That was pop water. Let's see if I can get this baby. Hell yeah.